everybody. The Drew and Mike Show is rocking for Thursday in the DealsInTheD.com studios. And right off the top, I will mention our newest advertiser, the Flagstar Strand Theater in Pontiac, who bring you 1964 The Tribute. And I read up on this today. It's primarily the Beatles' touring years.
Oh, okay.
And I actually clicked on a couple. They're good.
Nice.
Very good. They're not the Beatles, but, you know, people dig them. They've sold a bunch of tickets, but they'd love to sell the place out. So pick up yours.
Is the Ringo impersonator going to be there? I want to know.
In the crowd? Sitting next to Joey Marasa.
All of them should go. That would be great.
That guy. I forgot about that dude.
Yeah.
What is that guy doing with himself?
Impersonating
Ringo. Walks around looking like Ringo and
getting
people wigged out. For more information to get tickets, go to FlagstarStrand.com or Ticketmaster. Use promo code Drew. God, you know, is there anything we do that isn't measured?
Nope.
Are promo codes in a lot of radio ads?
Yeah, they are.
Oh, yeah, tons.
Mm-hmm. Like, how many?
I remember you used to do Sherry's Berries, and they had a promo code.
I know.
All that. Yeah.
Can't we just do a crappy job for people, and they don't know about it? A little promo code?
It would be nice to have some Sherry's Berries right now, too. It's just a random thought.
The fact of the matter is, it sounds good.
Yeah.
The fact of the matter is we do very well with our promo codes, but it's always additional pressure.
Yeah, you're right. Well,
why do people want their money's worth? Why can't they just buy ads and just know that they're getting great mentions and references everywhere, and it all combines to make it work?
Why do they be such dicks about it?
We must be.
Not those people, though.
No, not 1964 The Tribute or The Strand Theater, which is beautiful, by the way. For more information on 1964 The Tribute, they play a lot of the stuff, the Beatles, when they came to America, but they do branch into live stuff from 65, 66. I think, like, Paperback Writer.
Oh, cool.
That's one of the later Beatles songs they played live.
Right.
So go to FlagstarStrand.com or Ticketmaster. Use promo code Drew, D-R-E-W, for 25% off. Oh, is this for real? Wait.
You can save that one for tomorrow.
Oh, I can?
Yeah.
Okay. That's cool. That's a listener.
No, I know.
It's funny. We really don't knock on doors.
No, we don't.
We don't have time. We have a skeleton crew.
We don't have time.
Because our promo codes do so well.
I know. Actually, they have done pretty well.
Yeah.
Okay, so where are we? It's Thursday, and
Welcome back from commercials.
I'm not quite as close to the edge as I was yesterday, but I still could be bumped over easily. Yeah. It's been a hulkish day.
What hulked you most?
Well,
What got you off your routine?
Was it Matt Lauer?
I had to go to the doctor, which was really dubious.
What kind of doctor?
Am I allowed to ask, or
is this a HIPAA violation?
It's a HIPAA violation, but I've had shoulder pain.
Shoulder?
Shoulder pain.
You're in Jackson.
Yeah, and it's now in both shoulders.
Oh.
My shoulder.
Mine too.
I think.
Did they make you jump on top of your car in your pajamas to see how much it really hurt?
Did you ask what time it was?
My elbow.
You'll be down in the parking lot? It's hard to top that for sheer insanity, isn't it? Michael Jackson dancing on his car after being arraigned for child molestation.
Yeah, when his shoulder allegedly hurt.
And the crowd.
What time is it? Because I'm hurting.
That's when his stuff kicked in.
I remember watching
Meds kicked in.
You're right.
Do you remember watching that live? Did you watch that live?
Oh, yeah.
That was so bizarre. Yeah. He's literally in court. They're arraigning him for child molestation. That was the first time he had to go to court, wasn't it, for that? Because he had all those settlements before.
Was it like
I think you're right.
The second or third day or something like that when he just was like, I don't want to do this.
In his jammies?
In his jammies.
No, he wasn't in his jammies that day, but he had his umbrella holder. I remember that. And it was sunny out.
Oh, Brandon's got it. There it is.
Yeah, and then he just decides.
He's so high right there.
What a great time to dance on top of a car for my fans who support me in my molestation arrest. Ooh.
I bet you he was at home at Neverland going, what time are we leaving? And how far was the drive? So if I take medication 15 minutes before we leave, I will peak just in time to jump on top of my car.
Oh, look.
He does start boogieing, doesn't he?
Oh, yeah. I love that the videographer got up there, too.
Yes, you can
shoot the umbrella holder.
The umbrella's up there with him now.
I'm docking your pay because I have to hold my own umbrella.
He's just been arraigned for molesting children. After paying millions in settlements.
He's the king of look over here.
What year was this?
2003, 2004, 2005, somewhere in there.
See, man, if this was today, he'd be up there with a cell phone filming it himself on Facebook Live.
Oh, yeah, and there'd be so many cell phones there. Well, when does he boogie, though? I want to see him boogie.
Well, he kind of did earlier.
I turned into a dumb fan. Oh, my God, Michael's on top of the car. Is he going to dance?
Start boogieing. Ooh.
Oh, now he's getting down.
Oh, my God. What a clown.
Man,
some umbrella.
My shoulder.
So your shoulder's
so,
hurt?
Yeah, so yeah, so shoulder's hurt, and I have a funny feeling. This is spinal stenosis again.
Oh, the top now?
Biting me back in the ass, yeah, in the top. Instead of my legs, it's my arms. So, yeah, I got to get an MRI.
Fun.
I think they insist that I will live, because I asked them, I was like, am I going to live? Yeah, I think you'll live. So that was okay.
For a while,
don't feel good.
We all die.
So then I had to go get scripts, and I go, and... they're like, let me script them.
Oh, God.
What? So I call the office, and it's like, oh, well, you went to the other place last time because you were out. And then they called them. So, God. So they called in. So I just go in the car and just hanging out in the car, just being pissed, close to the edge. And I go back inside, and I said, yeah, I think they called it in. They go, yeah, but it takes 10 or 15 minutes. And I want to say, but it's been 20 minutes because I'm sitting in my car watching the clock, and I didn't say that. I said, okay, 10 or 15 minutes. Then in 15 minutes, I'm kind of looking around and they're like, it's going to be a few more minutes.
Oh, my God.
They're so doing then, that to mess with you at that point.
I think so. It's pretty clear. It's some kind of conspiracy between a lot of people. Like, the people don't like interviews. The people don't like farts.
Anti-vaxxers.
Oh, is someone not feeling well?
They're all working together.
Are you getting enough vitamin C?
And then they say, they call my name, and I go up there, and they go, yeah, here you go. And I go, oh, are all four scripts in there? No, actually, this one we can't fill till the 17th, and this one we can't fill till the 14th, and this one we can't fill till the 11th.
I'm like, is this an insurance thing again?
Yeah.
Did you say, I'll just pay the cash price?
Or it's another thing is that now pharmacies don't have certain stuff.
Oh, these people.
They have to, like, wait for it to be sent to them.
I get the same thing every month.
How is that possible?
I know, I'm like... but you guys know that I get it every month. Can you just have mine in? What's up with that?
What can you do? Well, medicine's not a science.
Yeah, just, well, we're just going to give you half, and that way you can just come over here, which is not inconvenient at all for you. It's better for us that way. We don't have to keep inventories of this crap. And then you go there in 2 weeks, and they go, oh, we don't have it. Here's a couple days. This will hold you over. And then you can come back again because you love coming back. And anyway, so yeah. And one of them was for Flomax. I'm like, Flomax? What? What do you mean I have to wait for Flomax? I said I didn't even get it last time. Like, well, I'm just
Flomax. It's not this pharmacy, is it?
Yes, it is.
It is.
Yeah.
Excuse me, Flo?
I've had to get a script from there before. Not my favorite pharmacy.
Flomax? What am I waiting for? I didn't even get it last month. Why am I waiting for Flomax?
Shouldn't they have last month's then waiting
for
you still?
Should be. Yeah. And, I mean, it's not something you can abuse. I can't take 50 Flomax and get buzzed or cook it or smoke it. Or
just hold your urine for a month and take it all at once?
So.
Jesus.
Bad diet, isolated environment. It's amazing he's still alive.
That was, I feel like I was really getting pushed out over the edge, but it didn't happen.
Wow. Amazing that you kept it together.
I know. I don't know how I did it.
Kudos.
I don't know.
Don't feel good.
I feel like that pharmacy loves themselves.
Oh, they do. Oh, they do. They're so in love with themselves. All their little specials, you know, all that organic crap they sell.
Is that a compounding pharmacy? Oh.
No comment.
No, that's really well said because I never thought of it that way. They do. They are in love with themselves.
They love themselves.
Really?
Yeah.
They're so ahead of the time.
Yeah. That's a kind of a hipster pharmacy.
It is. So, anyway,
fun.
Moving along here.
Well, they probably feel like you enjoy being there, right? Because they are fun.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
So cool.
Nothing more fun than waiting around for your script for an hour, you know, and getting multiple, you know, oh, I just need a few more. And they have no chairs, by the way. No chairs to sit in either. So you can just stand and
hipsters
look at your phone.
Sit.
Jeez. Hipsters don't.
Don't do that.
That's true.
They lean.
Back surgery equals drugs. That's true, Barney. Looking at the Facebook Live commentary. Grow Green MI brings you Facebook, the store where commercial growers shop. There are staff of over 40 experts ready to help you succeed. Whether you're just starting out growing at home or have a state licensed facility, these guys can help. With crazy deals like bags of Ocean Forest for $10, Next Light Megas for $11.50, Dairy Dew 201 and 301 for $9 a bag, and dry ice for 30 cents per pound. That's Grow Green MI and M36 and Whitmore Lake are online at growgreenmi.com. They sell, what's the pot, CBDs?
Or oh, what? The CBD oil.
Yeah, they sell that. And I'm like, oh, is that good for anxiety? No, well, that's really more for... I don't know.
You're talking about the pharmacy?
Yeah.
I got to get a sale for only $5.
They have a ton of it.
But we have the drops and whatever. But,
Dr. Roche has all of that.
He does.
They're trying to upsell you.
Probably.
That's why they're making you wait for the script. That's to upsell you.
That's how hipster they are. They have CBDs. Yeah.
And suspenders. You can buy some suspenders there.
Everybody has CBDs now, though. That doesn't distinguish you.
But they're right at the front counter.
Oh, wow.
Pot pharmacy.
Oh, so it's the first thing you see. Wow.
That's the first thing I saw.
Yeah, not a fan of that place.
Well, it's kind of a Me Too day.
Yeah.
Which is surprising.
Happy Me Too day, everybody.
Because, I mean, we've really sort of been through and come out the other end. But we're back in Me Too land because it started with the lady who had, she really got Matt Lauer fired.
Yeah.
Because she said she was raped at the Olympics in Sochi. Is it Sochi? Is that the correct pronunciation?
Not close enough. Who cares? Russia.
How do you say it, Brandon?
Sochi.
Sochi?
Sochi. Oh, great.
You're canceled.
Anyway, she said that he anally raped her in Sochi.
Me too.
In 2014. Well...
Now that's the first thing I think of whenever I see his face.
Oh,
by
no
the way.
Doubt. No yeah. doubt.
It's an interesting story because she's drinking with some people, and she said she drank 6 shots of vodka. And
nice move by Lauer to steal her media credentials, so she had to come to his room to get it back.
Yeah, that
late at night.
Creepy. By the way, no help, Meredith Vieira.
Well, yeah, because she was originally...
Let her loaded and then let her cut her loose. I
mean, Meredith obviously didn't know that Lauer was...
That was a creep?
...was into panel.
She was 26 years old and... Or no, she was 30 and he was 56. She's a grown-up. But then he gave her the event passes.
Yeah.
And then she came back to his room. Now, I'm not sure why did she come back to his room. I'm not saying...
He invited her.
He invited her back?
He did.
That's what she said.
He invited her back, so she came back.
Okay, and he's in a T-shirt and boxers.
Yeah, pushed her against the door, kissed her. He then pushed her under the bed, flipping her over.
Get it on.
See, it sounds like that was the first thing he went to.
But this is...
His go-to.
Well, no, I could have done with the event pass visit. I'm not defending him, by the way.
Listen to the rest of this, though. So, pushing her under the bed, flipping her over, asked if she liked anal sex. She said she declined several times, according to Ronan Farrow. This is... She was in the midst of telling him she wasn't interested again when he just did it. What a creep.
You know, I hate to be graphic, but I was just thinking, how do you just stuff it in? It just seems be hard.
He also he didn't use lube.
I know.
That was a nice detail to add. The encounter was excruciating painful.
That's what I didn't understand. It seems like there'd be crying and, I don't know, probably some...
There was crying.
Ow!
She told me, well, I don't think
like
Lauer doesn't care.
It doesn't seem like with someone that you know, I mean, he's not that strong. It seems like you could squirm your way out of that, but I don't want to go there. That's not really fair.
She told me she stopped saying no, but then wept silently into a pillow. Lauer then asked if she liked it. She then said yes, and then she, quote, bled for days. But what's interesting is he claims that they engaged in...
Lauer's dick did that.
Nice
takeaway. There's no way that guy's hung, right?
I don't think so.
And his pubes look like hair on his head.
I think his pubes are trimmed very close.
Just
to,
like the hair on his head. Yeah.
Yeah,
he probably did it all at once. Remember when he cut his hair?
And he uses a trimmer on his pubes daily.
The same one he uses on his head.
Possibly.
He does
it's his. It's
he
his
does,
hair.
He does his pubes
it's
first.
Matt Lauer.
Too.
Loves himself. So then she... kind of describes that a consensual affair ensues from that point.
Yeah.
And her reasoning for that is, and I'm not trying to beat up her up, In fact, I defended her valiantly when her hotness came into question before the show.
We all decided that she's all yours.
A conversation that should have shamed the entire room except for me. Because I think she's really pretty.
No, I mean, I think she's pretty. I think she's cute. But I also think that
You can share it with Drew.
She looks a lot like Kristen Schaal.
Yes.
Who is from last
year. If all Kristen of you Schaal, should be Me Too'd for agreeing with that.
And I also think that she looks like Heidi Gardner from SNL.
If those two had a baby and Lauer put it in their ass, it would look like her.
She's hotter than both of those. She's pretty.
No, she's not hotter than Heidi Gardner.
Yes, she is.
Wait, just show the other pictures, Brandon. For Facebook Live.
Yeah, there you go.
She looks like Kristen Schaal right there.
Not her best picture, but
she's not ugly.
She has a killer body.
Killer body.
Maybe this is what happened post Matt Lauer. That's why she looks that way now.
Okay, look at that picture with her cute dog. She looks cute there.
Sure.
Go back to the picture in the red dress.
No one's going
to
fight you.
She has a little Hillary Clinton happening, too.
Believe me, she would not be my first choice.
Chelsea.
She does look like Chelsea.
There's a vague resemblance to
Chelsea. That's cool.
There's only 4 pics of her online that I can find.
I think she's really pretty. But, I mean, that's really very, very
beside the point.
Serious issue, very shallow thought. Yeah, I mean, we knew she was going to be pretty. She has to be hot, or Matt Lauer wouldn't have had an affair with her, right?
No, that's not how that works.
Yeah, it is.
That's not how that works. She was there drinking. He was going to stick it in an
I know, but
chick.
He retapped.
Well, yeah.
Essentially retapped by both accounts.
Because he anally raped her first.
No, she, for some, well, this is where it gets interesting, is that she says she feared for her career and her position, and so she continued to have an affair with him.
He must have been kind of like, maybe not openly threatening, but he must have, you know, she must have realized the consequences of telling on him. And then she'd be fired.
She doesn't know
how that's going to turn out.
For the sexual assault, I understand why maybe she didn't bring that out, but I'm not sure I understand why she continues to have a consensual affair, because it sounds like it went on for a while.
Was Sochi the first place they had?
Yes, that was where the consensual affair began.
Except starting after that.
When they got back, consensual. It continued. And
hey, my other shallow sideline thought is he's in a country full of Russian women. Why didn't he hit on somebody who didn't know him?
Crime of opportunity, man.
Couldn't.
Yeah, he's Matt Lauer. He can't go out and hustle Russian women.
What?
Fight through all the not-so-hot ones for the hot one.
I'm looking at some of her tweets.
At the Olympics.
And, man, when stuff like this happens, just the assholes just come out of nowhere.
Oh, wow.
She posts a picture of her cat. The only response, you waiting for Matt on the 19th? Oh.
Oh, come on.
What? On the 19th?
19th hole.
And
then here excuse me, here's another one with her cat. Up your pooper. Those are responses
cool.
She gets.
Cool. Really nice.
Six
vodka those
drinks.
People be canceled?
Huh. I don't know.
Six people vodka drinks.
Such dicks.
Well, then he's on the TikTok with his daughter, and they wanted to know if he has a door in his house that he can slam shut after they're in there together. So.
Okay. Well, we'll get to the door that locks and all that. Brandon, can you read the TikTok comments? Because, you know, he's doing this cute thing with his daughter.
Which I love the idea that, hey, Matt Lauer did a cute thing with his daughter. Did you see it? No, just Google Matt Lauer today.
Yeah.
All you're going to get is the anal rape story.
I know. And the comments, which are not, they go a little off topic.
Imagine that.
There are no rules anymore.
I feel like an idiot, but I don't even know where to access TikTok.
On TikTok, the app.
I don't have the app.
Just kidding.
Brandon, what's wrong with you?
I'm a millennial.
How millennial are you?
TikTok is, I don't know, is that one of our things? I thought that was Gen Z.
It's funny how millennials, and I actually understand this, millennials get pissed because a lot of people don't realize that they grew up with landlines.
Right.
And all this stuff was new in their life, whereas our Gen Zers, of course, grew up with it. So that's why they're so much smarter than all of us. While you're looking for some great comments, or anybody else's on Matt Lauer's TikTok, our friends and original sponsors, Zach Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram, have launched their Jeep Adventure Days, and you better believe it's as exciting as it sounds, because during Zach Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram's Jeep Adventure Days, you can finally get the brand new Jeep you've been yearning for. How about leasing a new 19 Jeep Compass Limited as low as $166 a month? Or, if you prefer the Mac Daddy, you can lease new loaded 19 Jeep Grand Cherokee as low as $268 a month. Plus, they've got the one of the largest Jeep inventories in the state, so that means a lot of sweet Jeeps for you to choose from. don't know if you get there now. Finally, you know about the Dodge Rams. Everybody loves Ram trucks. So go lease a new 19 Ram Crew Cab Bighorn Edition as low as $145 a month. And yes, Zot has an ass ton of Rams to choose from. See details in their massive inventory at dealsnd.com.
Brandon, it's in your prep in the Page Six article. They just sort of...
Are you claiming that Brandon didn't read his own prep?
No, just that there are no comments following. I don't know how to get to TikTok.
I don't know.
No one does.
But the one did the door lock behind you have a remote lock?
The interesting thing about this story is, are you surprised more people aren't upset with how NBC handled it?
Yeah, I'm going to get there because okay. NBC,
they
I got to tell you, there's some really interesting things. And I'm not ready to tie this in with Jeffrey Epstein, but I think
they're enabling his behavior because he makes a lot of money.
As you see what goes on at NBC News, maybe it's easier to understand what went on with Jeffrey Epstein because a lot of people with a lot of power are somehow mixed up in this stupid Matt Lauer thing. It's incredible to me.
Yeah.
And, of course, a lot of it has to do with Harvey Weinstein throwing his weight around.
Yeah.
And by the way, Harvey Weinstein, that's a situation where I truly do believe there was much non-consensual activity because we know these chicks are out of his league. Yeah. They're not going to put out for him.
Oh, no.
Not to mention there's about
it's hot for 80, him.
80 stories that are almost identical. When I was doing the Zot commercial, it reminded me of another thing that almost put me over the edge. More complaints from the UAW. I guess we can't talk about the UAW anymore.
Did they write about the...
Well, if you don't support them 120%, then you can't say anything.
You get out.
Do you get any letters about the probe into the UAW cabin up north? Because that's a wild
story.
We
haven't even talked about that.
A new story in the Free Press today about it. Ooh. Surprised they're not upset about the amount of money went up there. Which, my favorite part of that whole article, it's a really in-depth article about how they built this cabin for Dennis Williams. Like, what, 1,700 square feet? Beautiful, top-end, high-end stuff on this retreat place up north. And they used non-union workers to build it.
Oh,
the people they hired were all non-union.
Why'd they do that?
A little hypocritical.
That's pretty stupid. Yeah, well, and you know, and I don't hold the UAW the membership responsible for any of this. And it's all you know. There's a lot of crap on both sides.
I think most people, when they get mad, quote unquote, at the UAW, isn't it typically the leadership? I'm surprised members aren't more upset at their leadership.
They probably are, but it's not a pleasant topic. Yeah, what are you going to say? So, anyway, I thought I made the best point for the UAW that I have not heard anybody repeat, and I think they should be talking about it, the corporate tax cut.
Oh, yeah.
That GM should be sharing some of the money they saved on taxes with their employees, because that was the idea. Either you're investing in workers or plants or, I mean, that's what a tax cut's for.
That's what we were told it was for, yeah.
Yeah.
And what do they do? Do they buy back stock instead?
Well, they claim they are investing in certain places, but then I hear that Hamtramck, it's not going to happen after all. And I know the UAW wants all the Mexican plants to go bye-bye and it all come back here. And, you know, whether or not that happens is another story. And in the end, they have to be successful. But it's inarguable that GM got a giant corporate tax cut. Like Amazon did and Facebook did and Chrysler, everybody else did, and that maybe some of that should trickle down because it's a lot of dough.
Well, it was after being saved, too.
Yes. I can't delve into that topic because I'll get battered for delving into it. But
then shouldn't their demands just be straight up benefits and wages?
Well, it's more complicated than that, of course. It always is because...
I mean, I don't know.
You know, a lot of us do investing in infrastructure here for future employees. And it's not about us. It's about, which, you know, I don't see that. I don't go for that. I always feel like, no, it's about you. It should be about you. And there's nothing embarrassing about it being about you. You want more wages and you want to.
Yeah, that's what it should
be. Your health care. Everybody wants that. There's nothing wrong with that. Anyway, I've been a long time loyal listener. And this guy, actually, when I responded to him, he responded back. He's a big fan and all that. So, but just saying, this could have put me over the edge.
Are you going to be friends with him like Ellen's friends with George Bush?
Yes, absolutely.
Oh, you mean you can disagree with people?
I can be friends with Tony. I've been a long-time listener since the days of Learn to Spell with Darnell.
Oh, wow. That goes way back.
Wow. It
wasn't on our show either.
Oh, was it? That was that JJ?
Yeah, it was JJ. It was a syndicated bit, too. They didn't even do it themselves.
What?
So. I shouldn't be telling on JJ, but I am. I followed you guys every place you ended up. I'm so disappointed about your constant bashing or skepticism of the Big Three's blue-collar workforce.
That was JJ, too.
Bashing and skepticism? What?
That's not true.
I guarantee we've been the biggest reason for your longtime success in the Detroit media market. UAW? I'm not saying I of course, we've always had people listening to us as they work in these plants, but, I mean, really, he's kind of taking credit for my...
Whatever.
I think I'd...
I mean, I'm glad they did.
No, I'm glad they did, too, and I'm not trying to run them off, either. I guarantee we have been the biggest reason for your long-term success. You guys need to support the people who've always supported...
I am nothing without my following.
You guys need to support the people who've always supported you.
Okay.
Do we not have any white-collar listeners?
I don't want to quit you guys, but you're making it awfully hard. Please at least be more respectful when you speak of our issues. What? Well, how was I disrespectful?
I don't know.
I wish I know how to quit you.
I know it's hard for you to believe, but most of us do work very hard in pretty shitty conditions for our careers. I'd say you don't work hard. There have been some times when it was pointed out that people didn't work that hard, but that was
a long time ago.
The 80s and 90s. That's the UAW still fighting that. That's not me. And also, this $63 an hour thing. I don't make $63 an hour. Okay, I didn't make up that number. You should be going after all the large media outlets who report that number. In fact, can you Google?
I think it's just misleading because it's benefits plus wages.
Right, yeah. It doesn't mean you're paid $63 an hour. It means
that's what you cost
wages, which is $30 or so, plus your medical benefits, which in that case they have very good medical. That's good.
It might be misleading, but when they present it, it's usually from the perspective of the company.
Yeah, it probably is misleading. But the reason it's always thrown out there is because it's always compared to the other companies that they, you know, are also trying to make a living.
According to CNBC, GM on average pays $63 an hour for its factory workers, while Ford pays $61 and Fiat Chrysler pays $55. And that compares with a $50 per hour for non-unionized employees at foreign automakers with factories in the U.S.
It's just a fact. I wasn't saying, oh my God, you pricks make $63 an hour and you suck. It was nothing like that. It's just a stated fact. So anyway, most of us are in shitty condition. Thanks for all the great laughs through the year.
Oh,
through the years.
Okay.
It's kind of a... wasn't that excited about the thanks for the laughs after all that? Jeez.
Always appreciative.
Well, that's like when you get pulled over and then they're like, have a nice day.
So I wrote them back. I don't even know why I wrote... Why do I write these people back? Tony, really? I can't believe you guys listen and take away that I'm bashing the workers. Yesterday I pointed out the giant corporate tax cut and said they should be sharing it with workers. I haven't even heard the UAW mention that. I think it's a better selling point, to be honest. Mm-hmm. It's part of why they're making extra large profits. Thanks for responding. I really am a huge fan. You guys didn't do Learn to Spell with Darnell. Oh, I'd added that, by the way.
That was JJ.
Can't imagine who.
Did you write back and say, it was also a syndicated bit?
I should. Hopefully, Tony will get the. Hopefully, Tony's still listening and feeling horrible. He's probably crying. He's so upset about his thoughtless email. No, I'm kidding, Tony.
He's mad about something else.
Can't imagine who. No one's like you guys with that type of content, especially back then. Well, that kind of content was syndicated. It came from California or somewhere. But you know, I'm glad we were competing with the big shots that have the syndicated comedy services.
I'm glad he wrote in, though.
Homework.
I don't mind, sorry. But you know, honest. I want to replay what was said so we could actually go through it word by word and see where this bashing comes from. The previous letter was the same. It's like, you know, it's kind of like the Greta Thunberg. If you don't buy in 100%, then I hate you.
Yeah.
How dare you?
And so, you know, because all these things become political in one way or another, or even if it's not political, it's like, if you don't buy in 100% of my point of view, then all of you sucks. And these things aren't all black and white. Mm-hmm. Can the gray ever be discussed?
Nuance does not exist anymore. Never.
It really does.
You want me to change? Fuck you!
But speaking of black, if you want to be in the black, you might want to consider meeting with Luke Nowacki. Brandon, are you ever going to meet with Luke?
I'm trying. I keep running into some roadblocks.
Oh, boy.
Like what?
What's the latest roadblock?
My latest roadblock is I'm getting my ass pummeled by the IRS.
By Matt Lauer?
By the IRS.
Oh, that's right.
I'm completely getting my ass plowed by the IRS.
Was my accountant any help?
Pardon me?
Was my accountant any help?
I'm working on it. It's not good. I'm screwed.
How many years back are we talking?
2017 and 2018, and basically I'm screwed. I'll figure something out. I'm going to whore my body. I'm going to get a third job. I'm going to...
You got a problem? You just throw some money at it and say, go away.
Yeah, I'm working on it. But, so I didn't want to... I want to get this resolved before I see Luke. Otherwise, I'm going to have to completely change everything I do with Luke.
Are we able to pinpoint the blame?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. We'll talk about that later.
Maybe Luke can help.
It's all your fault. No.
I'm glad that Bill was able to help.
I'm not sure if he has yet. But we're going to work it.
Really?
We're going to try.
Well, I know it's not Bill's fault.
But rest assured, I definitely need to see Luke. I want to see Luke. I'm going to see Luke, especially to get things set up for my little baby for college.
Well, that's fantastic. A really smart decision, young man. We can put that check in a money market mutual fund. Then we'll reinvest the earnings into foreign currency accounts with compounding interest, and it's gone.
Oh, no. That doesn't happen when you go to Luke Nowacki.
No.
And, yeah, 401Ks and 529s for the college funds, those things are all important. And it's good to have somebody to be a guiding hand, and he will meet you with you. He will meet with you on a confidential, not a confidential basis, of course it's confidential, on a free consultation. Call Luke, 248-663-4748. A lot of people have visited Luke about a lot of different things, and he can help. Securities Investment Advisory Services offered through Rollins Associates Corporate, a member of FINRA, SIPC, Rollins Associates Corporate, and separately owned other entities and all marketing names, services, products. Reference here, independent of Rollins Associates Incorporated. Okay. So, yeah, we're talking Matt Lauer somehow. We're keeping the topic going. And, you know, as far as her complaint, it seems that this consensual affair went on.
Mm-hmm.
It ended. And life goes on. In spite of this power imbalance, I mean, it sounds from her standpoint.
It's not that uncommon, though, to have consensual sex.
No.
Afterwards.
And it, but it sounds like I think she would even call it an affair.
Well, she said it was completely transactional, which kind of takes the romance.
Does she really use that word?
Well,
I mean, is that
well,
really
now
something
she
that
does.
She
I think
felt
she said
at the time?
Transactional.
Good detail.
You know, after all of what's going on, Matt Lauer's released this long statement, which we'll get to, too. In the end, I've heard probably 10 people make a comment about this. Just everybody I've butted into today. Hey, what's going on? And, you know, it comes up. And it's all about taking the butt. That's his wiener in her butt is the one thing that intrigues most people.
With no lube.
With no lube. And the bleeding for days and all that. But I know it's human nature. And I'm not trying to lessen her.
Inside
complaint.
Edition covered it and they had the Inside
They
Edition.
Mentioned the lube?
So, you know what? I don't know. But you don't hear that from other places. You just hear Matt Lauer raped her.
Anally.
And there's once again.
Usually with the rape, the term is not.
I don't think I heard anally this morning. At least not on CBS, or I don't know if GMA did it.
Can we
not.
See the Inside Edition? I just want to see if they talked about the butt.
Okay, then I'm not going to tell you what made me laugh. I just want to see if it makes you laugh, too. But it was a...
They all know what they're doing, by the way, when they mention anally. They know people's ears perk up.
Very salacious, yeah. Anal cells. That's what they said in their editorial
probably.
Meeting. Anal cells.
And it's, you know...
Did you know that panel is a subset of anal pornography?
Painal?
Yeah.
Painful anal?
Yeah.
Really?
Brandon and I had this whole discussion earlier about it.
People that like it because it hurts?
Yeah.
People like watching it because the girl's acting like it hurts.
Okay.
I know, it's weird.
So she's acting like it hurts.
Well, I assume she's acting.
Hey, by the way, they just ran by the pilot fighting with the mm-hmm. girl in the plane thing,
mm-hmm.
and they were both fired. Why was she fired?
She hit first.
But didn't she say he spit on her?
Yeah, you still can't throw the first punch.
Okay.
In the workplace.
Lauer was
and they were banging, too.
Oh, they were?
Oh, yeah, they were banging.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know that.
He was nailing her.
Nice. Oh, there's your girl.
Power imbalance. He's a pilot.
The details you're about to hear third are story, very man. Graphic and disturbing.
Okay, who is going to perk up when she says that?
Wasting no time in fighting back as his former colleagues get emotional on the air.
For the first time, we're hearing from the woman whose allegations led to Matt Lauer's firing from the Today Show 2 years ago. Her name is Brooke Nevels, and she's accusing Lauer of rape.
And welcome to Fished Olympic Stadium in the
Nevels was
the
working
Olympic
as Meredith Vieira.
That's the part that made me laugh, that they used the actual footage from the Sochi Olympics with him next to Vieira, because, you know, later on that night.
I know. How,
they did shots together.
It's just production value. Let's get a clip. We have a clip from Sochi.
But you can't look at that now and not think of what happens later that night.
That his wiener is...
With no loops. No
producer at the 2014 Olympics in Sochi, where she says the rape occurred. The 35-year-old producer spoke to journalist Ronan Farrow for his soon-to-be-released book, Catch and Kill. Variety magazine obtained an advanced copy of the book.
They're at the Sochi Olympics. They're at a bar at the hotel.
She and Matt
and some other people were drinking. Brooke says that she did do six shots of vodka.
Nevels is quoted on the record as saying Lauer invited her to his hotel room in Sochi. She said she had no reason to suspect he would be anything but friendly based on
second.
Prior experience.
Invite her to a hotel room?
Mm-hmm.
Trudy?
What?
Would you go to his hotel room twice? Late after six shots of vodka?
No, I would be face down on my own pillow.
Wouldn't it seem a little extra playful to be in somebody's hotel room late?
Maybe, but I don't think you're expecting it.
No, I'm not saying that. I'm just saying, isn't there something a little flirty about that?
Well, all right. Maybe she thought there was going to be something, but she didn't expect that.
Exactly.
No. Yeah. Okay.
The book claims Lauer was wearing a T-shirt and boxers.
Hot.
I bet you his little wiener was poking out through the slot.
Man.
He pushed her on the bed, flipping her over, asking if she liked anal sex.
No.
She declined several times and was telling him she wasn't interested again when he just did it. It hurt so bad, she said. She wept silently into a pillow. It was non-consensual in the sense that I was too drunk to consent, she says. It was non-consensual in that I said multiple times that I didn't want to do it. After the Olympic Games came to an end and NBC personnel returned to New York, Brooke Nevels acknowledges that she had many consensual sexual encounters with Lauer.
What she says is that the relationship she had with Matt Lauer was totally transactional, that she feared for her career.
In 2017, as the Me Too movement was gaining momentum, Brooke Nevels finally told Meredith Vieira what happened to her during the Olympics. Meredith, she says, was distraught and advised her to go to human resources here at NBC Studios. Within 24 hours, Matt Lauer was fired.
Blown
out! I feel like we owe it to our viewers to pause for a moment. You know, this is shocking and appalling.
This morning on the Today Show, Savannah Guthrie and Heather Cotby held back tears after reporting on the rape allegations.
I want to say that I know it wasn't easy for our colleague Brooke to come forward then. It's not easy now.
Today, Matt Lauer is responding with defiance and outrage.
Okay, pause here because we're going to get to that.
I don't know. I mean, what is she? She doesn't have anything to gain by helping Ronan Farrow sell his book. She already has a settlement from
$1 million. From NBC.
Over seven figures, yeah.
Yeah.
So it's hard, not to believe her in that regard.
I understand that that he's an important person at NBC. He was not her boss. He certainly, I'm sure, could affect anyone's career within that Today Show.
Oh, yeah.
But he was not her direct boss. And I'm not sure that she has to keep a consensual affair going.
Probably not.
No. So it's really... I don't know, Trudy.
I think he did have the power to go blow her up if she didn't keep coming over. And
I think he would have.
Well, didn't she also say how awkward that they made it in meetings? She would sit there, and it was just super awkward. And and he could probably just make her life miserable until she wanted to quit.
At the very least, she would have the perception that he could do things to her and control her.
But
the,
probably could,
okay, can I? Oh, I'm sure. Can I just say this? And I'm not trying to. I'm just playing devil's advocate here. Couldn't she also do a lot of damage to him? You know, as in the position that I'm in, I'm certainly not in Matt Lauer's position, but, you know, somebody like that can also go to tabloids, can tell his wife, can do, I mean, she has
don't believe that anyone will believe you because Matt Lauer's word versus your word.
That
well,
and the fact
I would
that
believe her.
That
I believe her immediately because Matt Lauer's been accused of extramarital sex many times. No. Before then, Matt Lauer, the tabloids were rife with Matt Lauer stories.
Yeah, but he could always say those are the tabloids.
He did, but did you believe that? I didn't.
Didn't he supposedly have like a love child with, who was the chick on the, she's on the West Coast now. She used to be.
What? Who? Who? I don't know, but I want to believe it.
It was back in the 90s.
I didn't know about a love child, but he's a known philanderer, not Harvey Weinstein world, but certainly
pretty
it was
close.
Known that he was carrying on. His wife left him at one point or was going to leave him, and supposedly they, you know, worked that out. And
I mean, I know somebody who had,
philandering...
had somewhat of the same situation, and the her supervisor, you know, didn't have the power to fire her, but he shit-talked her to upper management.
Yeah. I'm not saying...
Oh, we got to cut her loose.
I'm not saying she had nothing to fear, but it doesn't sound like he was pursuing her all over the place. I mean, they had sex in a dressing room at work. They...
I wouldn't...
Nice.
Thank you,
Trudy. that's very strong of you.
I would not
when you read
that.
The Esquire story too, that's what she's most mad at herself about. It's for having the consensual relationship.
And
I can understand.
Not
that.
Only
I get it. I've banged chicks in the Silence of the Lambs room all the time.
I know what
that
goes
you have
on
no
here.
Power over.
So it also sounds to me, Matt Lauer makes this specific, but this was suggested before. It was not, you know. We really only hear her side of the story.
Sure.
Because it does Matt Lauer no good to say anything. Unlike Trump, Matt Lauer did the smart thing, shut up. His wife dumped him,
mm-hmm.
and he split up. He lost his job. He has nothing to lose now, so he is speaking out.
What about the TV channel he's going to get back on with Charlie Rose?
I know.
Who else was involved? Was it Weinstein going to do it?
I'm a little surprised. Matt Lauer, Charlie Rose, and there was a third... Me Too person, too. Maybe it was
Weinstein?
The
reporter. Was it Weinstein? Billy Bush? No.
It was suggested that she actually had, after this thing was over, that she was the one pushing him, like, you know, you dumped me. He ghosted her, I guess.
Yeah.
And I think he acknowledges ghosting her, but she was calling his house late night. He's there with his wife and kids, you know, one of those kind of things. So I think this is a little trickier than Savannah would.
Sure.
Have us believe. So here's Lauer's statement. Is there anything more to add to the story? I think it was just consensual. I did.
Unless you
want
to get
to
the NBC part.
Is she the one that he locked the door in his office, which he says, by the way, there was no way to lock the door from my desk in the office. I always wondered about that.
That's pretty cool if he could, though.
I know. I thought it was kind of cool, too.
Very Mr. Burnsian.
I wanted to believe it.
It's Mr. Burnsian, isn't it?
Yeah. I mean, it wasn't gonna change what happened by me not believing it.
No.
Okay, so Matt Lauer... finally pops off. Over the past 2 years, people have asked why I have not spoken out to defend myself more vigorously against some of the false and salacious allegations leveled at me. It's a fair question. The answer is deeply personal. Despite my desire to set the record straight and confront the individuals making false allegations, I wanted nothing less than to create more headlines my kids would read in a new gathering of photographers at the end of our driveway. So I decided to stay quiet, work on repairing my relationship with the people I love. It's been the most important full-time...
What kind of jerk is this guy?
Whatever. The most important full-time... Shut up, Lauer.
No one's raping this guy.
Today, nearly 2 years after I was fired by NBC, old stories are being recycled, titillating details are being added, and a dangerous and defamatory new allegation is being made. All are being spread as part of a promotional effort to sell a book. It's outrageous. You know, to sell a book, does that part really matter?
No.
I think it's sort of lame.
But that's right up. That's pretty akin to, she's just saying this for the money.
Exactly. So after not speaking out to protect my children, it's now with their full support I say, enough! In a new book, it is alleged that an extramarital but consensual sexual encounter I have previously admitted having was in fact an assault. It is categorically false, ignores the facts, and defies common sense. An extramarital affair with Brooks Nevels in 2014. It began when she came to my hotel room very late one night in Sochi, Russia. We engaged a variety of sexual acts. We performed oral sex on each other. We had vaginal sex. We had anal sex. Each act was mutual and completely consensual. The story Brooke tells is filled with false details intended only to create the impression this was an abusive encounter. Nothing could be further from the truth. There was absolutely nothing aggressive about that encounter. Brooke did not do or say anything to object. She certainly did not cry. She's a fully enthusiastic and willing partner.
Hmm. This is where you get into the he said, she said.
Yeah. At no time did she behave in a way that made it appear she was incapable of consent. She seemed to know exactly what she wanted to do.
Me and my mom, you know, talked it over and she had some, she said, permission. She said, yeah.
And she wanted it. So he says she seemed to know exactly what she wanted to do. The only concern she expressed was that someone might see her leaving my room. She embraced me at the door as she left. The encounter, which she now falsely claims is an assault, was the beginning of our affair. It was the first of many sexual encounters between us over the next several months. After we returned to New York, we both communicated by text and by phone. We met for drinks. She met me in my apartment on multiple occasions to continue our affair. Our meetings were arranged mutually. At no time, during or after her multiple visits to my apartment, did she express in words or actions any discomfort with being there or with our affair. She also went out of her way to see me several times in my dressing room at work, and on one of those occasions, we had a sexual encounter. It showed terrible judgment on my part, but it was completely mutual and consensual. Brooke now says she was terrified about the control I had over her career and felt pressure to agree to our encounters after Sochi. But at no time during our relationship did Brooke work for me, the Today Show, or NBC News. She worked for Meredith Vieira, who had not worked for the Today Show in several years, in a completely different part of the network, and I had no role in reviewing Brooke's work. Hmm.
That part's interesting.
That's very interesting. I admit
she didn't work for NBC at all.
That's what he says.
Well, why did NBC give settle? Her money?
Yeah.
Because she was helping with the Today Show in Sochi. She's working for Meredith Vieira. It sounds like Meredith Vieira pays her.
She's
still sucked into the NBC vortex. I mean, if she sued Meredith Vieira or Matt Lauer, you know NBC would be attached to the suit. Would.
Why is she there to have sex with him in a what?
In his
closet or
dressing
wherever?
Room outside his office.
So basically he said, wait a second, I want to have sex with you, but you do not work for NBC, so it's okay.
Well, no, I don't think, obviously, he wanted to bang her and she wanted to bang him. And well, I don't know if she says she didn't want to bang him, but.
I think he should be ashamed of himself.
I mean, thanks, it's certainly understandable that she could work for Meredith Vieira and be there on her account and also be mixed up with people at NBC, which she was. I admit I ended the affair poorly. I simply stopped communicating with her. Okay, ghosted her. Brooke continued to reach out. She admitted to NBC at the time she filed her complaint that she called me late at night while I was home with my family in an effort to rekindle the affair. I attempted to go back to my life and pretend as if nothing had happened. I understand how that must have made her feel. However, being upset or having second thoughts does not give anyone the right to make false accusations years later about an affair in which they fully and willingly participated.
Now get out of here!
I mean, it sounds like pretty brutal ghosting.
Yeah. I made a terrible, terrible mistake.
Out, out, out.
He's not the first person, especially Rod Stewart, the plane ticket on the bed. Mm-hmm.
But that was sort of courteous because you got your cab fare paid, in essence.
Between February 2014 and November 2017... Brooke and I saw each other more than a dozen times at professional gatherings, both large and small. Despite the fact that our affair was over, she always went out of her way to greet me warmly and engage in conversation. It was not until I was called in to speak to an NBC attorney, November 28, 2017, that I first learned Brooke had any complaint. I answered all questions openly and honestly for more than an hour. At that meeting, I was never told that Brooke claimed our encounter was non-consensual. Had I been, I would have defended myself immediately. After she filed her complaint in late 2017, her attorney publicly insisted she wanted to remain anonymous. He said she just wanted NBC to do the right thing. But within a year, she was reportedly out trying to sell a book. Oh, her own book. It appears she also sought a monetary payment from NBC. Now she's making outrageous and false accusations to help sell a different book and stepping into the spotlight to cause as much damage as she can. But Brooke's story is filled with contradictions. Which Brooke is to be believed? She claims our first encounter was an assault, yet she actively participated in arranging future meetings and met me in my apartment on multiple occasions to continue the affair. She says I was
here
the one...
Here is a man who's... He acts so holy.
She says, I was the one pursuing the relationship, yet once it was over, she was the one calling me asking to rekindle it. She says she felt pressure to continue the affair because
couldn't
I...
Couldn't both be true?
What's that?
Couldn't both be true in that regard?
He
pursues the relationship, and then she doesn't want it to end. In other words, he started it, but she didn't want it to end.
Yeah, that's possible, sure. No, I mean... Well, I'm sure they could produce phone records to detail who she called and where she called him and when she called. That wouldn't be hard to do. I mean, if this was a civil case, they would certainly do that, right?
Yeah.
She says she felt pressure to continue the affair because I had control over her career, but she did not work for me the Today Show or NBC News. She said she wanted to remain anonymous, yet she was reportedly trying to sell a book within a year after filing her complaint. Thanks for listening to the podcast. She said she just wanted NBC to do the right thing, yet she sought a monetary payment, and 2 years after I was fired, she is stepping forward to do more damage. And she did get a monetary payment of seven figures. That's all we really know.
Right. But where can she work now?
She can't.
Well, now she's named. I mean, right. Before, maybe. I mean, I suppose people in the know would know, but I don't know. There are people who fully understand the actual dynamic that existed between Brooke and me. They've reluctantly and quietly reached out in the past 2 years and shared what they know. They've accurately described Brooke and her role in this affair. I hope those people understand that these allegations cross a serious line, and what they share is a vital truth, even if it may seem unpopular. Because of my infidelity, I have brought more pain and embarrassment to my family than most people can ever begin to understand. They've been through hell. I asked for their forgiveness, taken responsibility for what I did do wrong, and accepted the consequences. But by not speaking out, I also emboldened those who continue to do me harm with false stories. One such story I should have confronted a long time ago is an example of why I believe my silence was a mistake. Despite numerous erroneous reports in the past, there was not a button in my office that could lock the door from the inside. There was no such locking mechanism. It didn't exist. NBC confirmed this fact publicly following my termination. I never heard that. It did not exist, by the way. I don't know if you did.
I didn't.
It would have been impossible to confine anyone in my office for any purpose, and I never attempted to make anyone feel as if they were confined in my office. I've never assaulted anyone or forced anyone to have sex, period. Anyone who knows me will tell you I am a private person. I had no desire to write this, but I had no choice. The details I've written about here open wounds, deep wounds for my family. They also lead to the truth. For 2 years, the woman with whom I had an extramarital relationship, the women with whom I had extramarital relationships have abandoned shared responsibility and instead shielded themselves from blame behind false allegations. They've avoided having to look a boyfriend, husband, or child in the eye and say, I cheated. They've done enormous damage in the process, and I will no longer provide them the shelter for my silence. Ooh. Matt Lauer. Ooh.
Wow, geez, windy.
Heavy.
Don't write me a book, kid.
Yeah, well, there's a lot to cover there.
I guess. Pretty self-righteous, though.
Yeah. I mean, he's certainly paid a price. I mean, he's over.
Yeah.
He is over. Done. And I think part of the reason he's over and done is because I think people knew he was doing this. It wasn't just this girl.
Yeah.
I think there were... I mean, did we ever... I'm sure we heard that there were more than one girl. It sounded like it was pretty commonplace for him to screw around. And it sounds like a lot of it happened within NBC. And... NBC, by the way, really interesting, you know, since they are so caring and they
woke.
They know nothing about any of these things until people tell them in meetings with lawyers. The Ronan Farrow story about Weinstein and Ronan Farrow's book, Catch and Kill, and we'd heard this before.
Well, not only that, but regards to Lauer in this case, I thought it was really interesting after... he was let go, that they were so insistent on saying there was nothing criminal, there was never an assault.
Which, we did good, and she had to write a statement.
Yeah, which I thought was really,
that's in exchange,
really weird. Why would they have to defend him after they let him go? Unless that was part of some kind of weird severance or walking away deal.
Well, they're always covering their ass. I mean, always follow the money. The fact is, Ronan Farrow...
Yeah, I guess if they admit to it, then they're opening themselves up to litigation.
And they don't want to be disparaged, you know?
No, they don't want to cost money.
Yeah.
That's about the money. And the Harvey Weinstein story, Ronan Farrow had that story dead to rights. Everyone knew what was going on with Harvey Weinstein. All these people, oh, my God, I had no idea. You know, Meryl Streep. And all, oh, I worked with them for decades. I know it. They all knew what was going on. That is such
BS.
There
were so many jokes about it.
I don't even know why people, why do they say that?
I have a theory about...
It's not my fault. I didn't do it. I'm woke, and I would have said something.
I have a theory about...
You're lying.
I have a theory about Meryl Streep.
Oh.
That none of that ever happened to her because she was established by the time she was in his orbit doing Miramax movies Weinstein Company.
I don't... I have no question that nothing happened with her and Harvey Weinstein, but the idea that she didn't know anything... I didn't know he did this to people... is really hard to believe because she worked with people that it was done to on movies she was in, and he was known for it. It was one of those things that was whispered among all these people. They all knew.
10 years ago, Courtney Love on a red carpet said, hey, if I can give anybody some advice, don't go into a hotel room with Harvey Weinstein.
Yeah, but
she said that 10 years ago.
No, true. She did. However, everybody's going to go, it's just Courtney Love.
Right, right. But that just shows you that people
she was
knew.
She pregnant
people
and on heroin.
It.
Yeah. Yeah. No, you're right, Brendan.
So Ronan Farrow has this story dead to rights. He has all these people on the record, and NBC doesn't want the story. They don't want it. They don't want to do it. They don't want to run it. And, you know, it makes me wonder just what's going on in NBC News, because there's quite a few cases where it seems that NBC News doesn't always do the thing that you think news operations would do.
It's kind of an awkward story for them.
Well,
under the circumstances.
It's awkward because they are throwing... Harvey Weinstein knows about Matt Lauer's affairs. So they're saying, this is how Harvey trades. Hey, you know, you want us to blow up Matt Lauer? Then go ahead and run the story. All these negotiations are going on from all these corners. And here's Ronan Farrow just thinks, hey, I got a great story. What's the problem? And meanwhile, Harvey Weinstein's people are calling him saying, here's the problem. You want Matt Lauer? You want that out there? Because we'll get it out there. And because of the way Harvey Weinstein operates, I mean, he's using the Mossad, ex-Mossad members from Israel, yeah, to get all this data on
intimidating.
People.
Intimidating.
And in fact, there was a really interesting comment in that story. Let me see.
Plus, he has a multi-million dollar entertainment company.
That too.
So they're, entangled with in a lot of ways.
So, the other thing about the Ronan Farrow story is that Hillary Clinton wanted it squashed too.
The Weinstein one?
Oh,
yes.
Because he gave her money.
He raised millions and millions of dollars, and he had future fundraising events that he was hosting for her. So they didn't want anything to do with this. And in fact, they put their footprint in there too to say, no, we don't want this story to run. Now, when the story broke, naturally, people went after Hillary Clinton because people will do anything to go after Hillary Clinton. But to say that, hey, this guy's been raising all this money here. What's going on? Oh, my God, I had no idea. I'm shocked. Well, Ronan Farrow tells us that Lena Dunham had informed all of the people on Hillary Clinton's staff way before the story ran that, hey, don't get mixed up with Harvey Weinstein. He's a rapist.
Hey.
And there's somebody working on a story, and it's going to come out soon. So don't work with Harvey Weinstein.
I can't believe I'm going to say this, but good for you, Lena Dunham.
I know. It is really weird. It's kind of sickening. When somebody you don't like does something you like.
Yeah.
So AMI.
Then, of course, he wasn't a writer on her show, so why would she?
Well, isn't that possibly?
She was a very active person politically.
Remember, she defended a writer on her show who was accused.
Yeah. Isn't that part of the reason maybe that people don't like her, though? Could he have influenced public opinion in different ways about her because of that?
I don't think she needs any help in that
regard. I don't think nobody's going to make me like her, but AMI was also threatening NBC.
Really?
AMI,
man.
Because they had goods on Lauer, too. So NBC just keeps telling them, you don't have the story. We need more details. And then I think they finally just told them, we're not going to run that story. It's just not. And they even suggested that it's just not a big story. Nobody knows who Harvey Weinstein is. Yeah, nobody knows him. Which is the same thing Lorne Michaels said.
Whoops.
It's a New York story. Why would SNL make jokes about Harvey Weinstein?
Yeah, but he works for NBC, so.
Whoops.
It's a company line.
Yeah, so. Also, Weinstein. Oh, this is so weird. Weinstein even went to Woody Allen to say, can you do something about this fucking Ronan Farrow?
Really?
Yeah. And Woody Allen said, I don't think I can do much about that.
Wait, I'm not his dad.
How could Woody? Oh,
yeah, he's.
Oh,
he's his stepson.
Wait. That's funny.
Well, he's supposed to be his son.
Connection together. Yeah.
Harvey Weinstein is so stupid. He thinks. Woody Allen can sit Ronan Farrow down. Who believes that Woody Allen raped his sister?
Harvey Weinstein went anywhere he could possibly go, and he even went to Woody Allen. What a joke that is!
Wow.
But it's funny. I'm laughing because I totally forgot that was supposed to be his father.
I know.
And it's so blatantly obvious that
Sinatra's dad.
He looks just like Frank Sinatra.
He's totally Frank
Sinatra. There's like no Woody Allen in that picture at all.
This is incredible.
You know, just look at his eyes.
I figured out how he is Frank Sinatra's, even though the timeline doesn't meet up. She saved some to Zoa in the refrigerator.
No, I think Frank nailed her in the 80s.
Oh, yeah.
It sounds like Frank was nailing her long after their marriage was over.
Was he?
She was 19 when he married her.
Yeah.
He was 51. She was 19 in 1966. And then Roman Polanski comes along with, what's the movie?
Rosemary's Baby. Yeah, right.
And that's when Frank wants her to leave the set. And Roman Polanski's telling her, hey, look at the dailies. You're going to win an Academy Award for this. Are you kidding? You can't leave the set. And she's like, sorry, Frank. I'm going to win an Academy Award, so I got to finish this movie. Frank's like,
I'm done.
The hell you are, bitch.
Who would you rather nail? I disqualify myself because I done them both.
We're going to get to this movie set or I'm done with you.
Your money's on the dresser, baby. I'm done with you.
Has he ever publicly said, yes, I look exactly like Frank Sinatra, but he's not my dad?
He should.
I mean, he is.
He is
Frank Sinatra.
Here's my favorite part of the Weinstein story.
Forget the hat. Put a bag over it and do your business.
The Weinstein people tried to go after Ronan Farrow personally by saying that
he's gay.
You haven't denounced your pedophile uncle.
Oh,
he has a pedophile uncle who's in prison who Ronan Farrow has.
Woody?
No, Ronan Farrow's uncle. It's yeah,
sorry,
Mia,
I'm losing track. Woody.
Mia's brother, I guess, who he has never met. But they were trying to play the, you haven't denounced your pedophile uncle? How can you go after Harvey Weinstein? Like, no, and that's something.
You should use the NBC term. No one knows who my uncle is. Everyone knows who Harvey is.
Yeah. Now, you know that this is just Harvey's PIs digging up whatever they can. And, you know,
Ronan's
that's how
pretty unflappable.
This gets done. Yeah, he seems to be. I mean, he's
Frank Sinatra's kid.
He took the job to the New Yorker, and the New Yorker ran it. They knew it was a good story. So, you know, NBC also, we can go back to the Trump grabbing by the pussy story, which NBC sat on for a couple months, and in fact, we're going to run as an October surprise. Well, that's not how news is supposed to work. News is supposed to work. You get the story, and you run it. It's either newsworthy or it's not. But they felt, it'd be a lot more powerful if we found this late in October than in August. Because Billy Bush had informed them, you know, Billy Bush, who thinks he's being a hero, but he's actually going to blow himself up.
Yeah.
He tells them, I was buddy-buddy with Trump, and he said some crazy shit. And they're like, oh, my God, this is gold.
All a lie.
And they sat on it until, was it the Washington
Post? No one was trying to protect him, because it's weird that people forget that Donald Trump worked for NBC, too. He had a pretty successful show on there.
He did, but they knew it was a big story.
Yeah.
But then someone else found out about it and was starting to break the story, and that's when NBC said, guess we got to run it now.
It was the Post, wasn't it? The Washington
Post. I think it was
Post
the Post.
First,
God, is there any network that isn't just full of super creepy people?
No.
No.
Like Charlie Rose on CBS. Who else? Les Mendez. NBC has all those creeps.
No, but look at how
Fox News had Roger.
Look at how news is made or isn't made sometimes. All this negotiation, all this power coming to bear on this story about Matt Lauer, Harvey Weinstein, and now we're going to pass on that story. Mm-hmm. And, you know, because I really find myself saying, this Epstein story, there's something more. There's got to be something more. Somebody is sticking a boot up somebody's ass down in Florida in 2005, and I don't know who it is. You know, you want to say, well, Bill Clinton and Donald Trump, they're friends. They must be, you know, there's some incredible power that is brought to bear on this thing, because how do you get immunity for all these other people?
Did you see the news?
Some of those people that are in that immunity pile have got to be, and my gut tells me Alan Dershowitz would be the
probably
perpetrator.
I don't know that, and I'm just throwing it out there.
Great lawyer.
He's, you know, because there are people accusing him also, but, you know, I'm sure the Clintons and I'm sure Trump would not want to be mentioned or, you know, get bad publicity out of it either.
Look how many other people were wrapped up in that, though, who had the ability to lean on whoever it took to suppress,
you know, Prince Andrew, Harry, whatever, Meghan, nobody cares about any of them. Who cares? But they have a ton of power. They have a ton of money. They have a ton of power. I mean, any of those people or all of them could have brought that to bear. And I'm still waiting for what the fuck happened in that prison, Brandon.
I don't know what happened, but something happened. I'm telling you.
They fell asleep and he killed himself.
I don't believe that's true. I think that's pretty naive to think that the biggest criminal in the entire world is not being watched.
Not the part.
I think incompetence happens a lot.
Well, I agree, and I just don't understand, why is the warden transferred? Why do we not know? Why have we never heard from the guards?
Well, they're union.
Yeah, they're union, but they're guarding.
It's political bullshit.
Yeah, somebody.
Something's really hinky here.
I don't think it was Clinton that had him killed, but somebody did.
Somebody had him killed.
You really think?
I really do.
You really think he was murdered?
The more and more I think about it, yes. The most high-profile criminal who is incarcerated in the United States who has the potential to bring down huge people.
But he wasn't going to. He could have already done that.
He has a lot of shit on people.
But
and,
he was never
and his,
going to.
His executor is walking out of his house with a bag full of stuff the day after he's... Why isn't that guy killed then?
Let's
That's
look at
the guy they
the
need to kill. He's got all the information.
All right, the same night that he dies, they transfer out his roommate. It just so happens...
That makes it easier to kill yourself when your roommate's not there.
Okay, Mark. It just so happens that all the cameras... All the cameras that are pointing into his cell.
Incompetence. That prison has had a lot of problem with updating. And they had the whole riot about the temperature inside that prison.
All right. Coincidences, I guess. All right.
Well, yeah, because he wanted to kill himself. He tried killing himself a few months ago, and they were saved because the situation wasn't right.
Right. And so you take him off suicide watch.
Yeah. Incompetence.
Okay.
You don't think incompetence is way more likely than a massive conspiracy?
I just think... I don't think this is a massive conspiracy.
It's a lot of incompetence. I think he killed himself, but I think he was allowed to kill himself.
I think he was allowed to.
I think they wanted him to.
You said someone had him killed.
Well,
or maybe he didn't.
He was allowed to, and that would be someone had him killed. That would basically mean, hey, by the way, you no longer have a cellmate. None of these cameras work.
Yeah.
We're just going to go sleeping on the job for 2 hours, and here's a bed sheet. See ya. And plus, he's got the broken bone in his neck that all the experts say you cannot break this bone by suicide by leaning.
There was one expert who then recanted what he said because...
I didn't see it was recanted.
Oh, yeah, it was. Right after he said he was... I'll find this story for you because he was upset.
Well, I believe
you.
He killed himself. There's no conspiracy, and everything's hunky-dory. I'm not sure about the bone in his neck.
There's debate over that. Enough debate to make me satisfied. But I don't understand. Like, I would think, first of all, the warden's picture would be on every newscast the next day, and I would know his face as well as I know Richard Jewell because that is the absolute peak of incompetence. I have. How could a warden let that happen? And how does he keep his job? How does he get? I would transfer him. It's like a pedophile priest. Just transferred to another prison.
Most importantly.
Did you guys see me win that conversation?
I think it's incredibly naive to think that nothing happened.
And remember, Bill Barr? Oh, there's going to be an aggressive investigation. We're going to get right to the bottom of this. What have we gotten to the bottom of? Nothing. We don't know anything.
How long has it been? It's been like 2 months.
Two months? How long does it take to find... I mean, how long do they need to find something out? And now that they just get to Pedophile Island, they just got there, everything's gone.
Well, there's no doubt he was protected in that regard.
Why is the executor walking out of his house with all this stuff? You mean to tell me... Why wouldn't they already have had been in that house?
Because he was protected for a long time.
I know.
Until New York arrested him.
Where does it all go? Where does it all end? I don't know. It's just a lot of shit.
They got a warrant to get that stuff out of his house before he killed himself.
But they got stuff out of the house that apparently either was missed or moved or who knows what. The guy's walking out of his house with a bag of shit. What's he walking out with?
The list of the other perpetrators.
Where's the investigation?
The fake boobs that were by the tub.
The picture of Clinton in drag dress. No, seriously. What? Why did they just get to Pedophile Island? What was that, 3 weeks ago, a month ago? They just searched the Pedophile Island place? Really?
Yeah,
come on.
Wheels of justice are pretty slow.
In Florida, and we know this because of Julie K. Brown's reporting, he was tipped off about the raid. Mm-hmm. He knew they were coming. They moved everything out of that house. Mm-hmm. So they didn't find 1/100th of the shit they would have found.
They still found some stuff, though?
They did.
There was so much stuff.
Because there's so much crap. Yeah, the dildo crib or whatever. The sex toy crib.
Gross.
I mean, honest to God, this guy was so guilty, they had him dead to rights, and somehow they're always a day late and a dollar short when it comes to anything with Jeffrey Epstein. And I'm still waiting for Bill Barr's investigation.
He's a little busy.
Oh, fun fact. Did you know that Bill Barr's father hired Jeffrey Epstein at that tower place?
Because he was tied to everybody. What's the tower place?
It was.
It's one of his original investments. Mm. Or
there are a couple.
Wasn't that an investment company, or was he tracking
them? Yeah. That was the one with the scam.
Yeah.
That he stole money from and his said was laundering money and that his partner
went
away.
To prison.
But Jeffrey, managed to skate.
The Les Wexner story, too. All these other people. Ghislaine Maxwell. Where is she? Why is she not arrested? What's going on? What's taking so fucking long? It's been 14 years, really.
Justice moves slowly.
14 years. And Les Wexner.
Is it really 14 years? Because the new investigation just started, just happened.
Well, but I mean, the stuff from 2005 that we know bullshit. About, which everyone knows about.
But they got to throw most of that away. They got to start all over New York as opposed to down in Florida.
I think it would be a priority when you've got these people involved in pedophilia just waltzing around the world. Ghislaine Maxwell and also this... Who's the guy that produced all the models, the hotelier in France or whatever?
That was that story I just handed you.
Jacques.
He's cooperating.
Jacques what?
Jean-Luc.
He's cooperating? Last I heard, they couldn't find him.
That was the story I handed you. Of course, that was according to his own lawyer.
No, that's...
Oh, well.
Yeah. The French.
And Les Wexner. I don't see Les Wexner. Nobody seems to be doing anything to him or with him.
No.
Seems to be just kind of waltzing around going, I didn't do anything. I had no idea he was a pedophile. That's why I kept sending him models even after he was in prison. I didn't even know he went to prison. It's crazy.
Isn't he one of the people, wouldn't you, reckless speculation, he'd be one of the people on the protected list?
Probably. Oh, well, he's certainly powerful.
So that's why he's still waltzing
around. He
helped
him make his money.
No, there are a lot of powerful people mixed up there.
Maybe they can't get him because of that, because the state of Florida let it happen.
Well, we're just
all immune.
We're really just starting on Me Too Day here because there's more. There's a new book that is going to interest a lot of people. I'm going to dig into this one too.
Oh, this one sounds fun though.
Yeah, it does sound kind of fun. If Me Too can be fun,
because nothing's going to happen to this guy.
No, but first, let me mention our friends and our sponsors at Zotford and Holly, who are bringing ridiculous deals to Drew and Mike fans. The fall clearance event—they've got four new trucks and SUV models you can lease below $100 a month. $100 a month. Below $100 a month. Yes, that's correct. During Zot Ford's fall clearance event, you can lease a new 19 Ford EcoSport, Escape, Edge, or F-150, all below $100 a month. These aren't watered-down rides. These are bad boys loaded with all the creature comforts you're looking for. See details at their massive inventory at dealsinthed.com. And have we heard any more word about the Mackinac trip being canceled? Is that really happening?
He's going through with it. He texted me earlier today.
Is that Matt?
Mm-hmm.
What's Matt's last name?
I wanted to protect his anonymity.
Okay.
Oh,
maybe we need to talk to
his
wife.
He just listened back and said his brother and his friends that listen also enjoyed the beating he got as well. And I said, I thought he held his own. He answered the questions pretty correctly.
Oh, he did a good job. The beating was really before he was on the phone.
Yeah. Yeah, I thought he handled himself well. I mean, he's still going to Mackinac, but...
I think Saginaw, Chicago, couldn't he interest the wife in another... The Swedish Day trip to combine Swedish Day, which he should be doing anyway. They're on the same day, his anniversary and Swedish Day. Just saying. It's a thought. Dr. Yaldo is doing the LASIK thing. Custom Cats LASIK, the most precise in the world, or the lens exchange for people 45 plus who can't stand their reading glasses. Eye surgery is a big deal, and you want somebody experienced. Like Dr. Yaldo, who's number one in Michigan with over 30,000 LASIK procedures, tens of thousands of lens exchange, and cataracts as well. And then there's the cost. And some of those clowns out there saying, oh, LASIK for $9.99 or whatever. Sure. And then you go in and you find out, well, that's just the office fee. Then there's this person and that person. And before you know it, we charge as much as everybody else. But if you have shopped for it and you think you got a great deal, Dr. Yaldo promises, Drew and Mike listeners, he'll beat any LASIK offer you get. So get the best and pay the least. The evaluation is free. Call 1-800-398-EYES, 1-800-398-EYES, or go to YaldoEyesCenter.com. Hall Financial Hotline, is there any reason to open the Hall Financial Hotline today? Just asking, because I don't know.
Nah.
I don't have any numbers right now.
People hate phone calls and interviews anyway, so.
I still want to call Good Morning America, but that's kind of...
I think it's still a good question.
Lodge a complaint.
Yeah, I brought that complaint to No Filter Sports.
Oh, did they?
They were in studio getting ready to do the show, and I came down and I said, I'm just watching Good Morning America, and guess what their lead sports story is? And this Monday morning, after all the great baseball games and football games yesterday, and they guessed, Astros, Yankees, football game? No, it's the WNBA Finals.
Well, yeah, who isn't watching that?
Which they got to at 7:16 before any football or baseball.
Quick question, do you even know who, like, what city is in the WNBA Finals?
I didn't until Brandon informed me the Connecticut Sun and the somebody Mystic.
Washington.
Okay.
Oh, neat.
I'm a big
fan. That's a big rivalry, big East Coast rivalry, huh?
Yeah.
Why are they allowed to meet in the finals? Shouldn't it be West Coast?
Yeah, what's up with the conferences of the WNBA? And but you know, I think it was so confusing to the fans that they couldn't get to the game because the upper deck was empty. When they showed it. Rarely did you see the upper deck, but it was empty.
Phoenix sue that that team for stealing their nickname?
The Connecticut Sun? What's that all about?
Well, the Mohican Sun, I think it's the...
Oh, it's the...
Isn't that the casino where they play? They're named after a casino.
Follow the money. By the way, speaking of sports...
Speaking of sports.
Hello again, everyone. This is Howard Cosell, speaking of sports. I think the this story about the tweet from the Houston Rockets.
Oh, it's the best story, isn't it?
It is one of the funniest stories I've ever read because of all the people that are getting swept up in it. I mean, not just the NBA and the fact that they could lose everything in China over a tweet.
Yeah, it's
a
great.
A short tweet that was deleted.
Isn't Yao Ming mixed up in this?
Yes.
He was the first one
commissioner.
To complain.
He's the guy who stirred it up?
He played in the NBA for 12 years.
I know. That much.
Okay.
Didn't he see it and he was like, oh!
Yeah, he pulled out immediately.
Was he the one that...
Oh, yeah. Well, he's
Yao Ming?
Yeah, he's in charge of the group in China. One of them. And then
I would have thought he would have been the one trying to fix it.
No, he lives in China. He gets paid by the
But he lived over here for a long time.
Made a lot of money here,
too. He's on China's side because he lives...
He's a rich Chinese man.
Tall.
Okay, I didn't know that he was so instrumental.
Is that racist? I didn't know.
Yes.
Okay. So yeah, I'm glad I said Chinese man.
Well, it was very funny watching all these people say, people were dying to get comment out of all the usual suspects, the people who will stand up for any social, you know, issue of importance, all the social justice warriors in the NBA like Steve Kerr and Popovich, you know, the ones that tweet about Trump all the time, and all of a sudden, I don't know much about this. I got to read a little more before I get into it. And people are just blasting them as pussies. Yeah. And, you know, here the NBA.
And they're doing their homework, Drew.
Yeah. in a way, I respected what Steve Kerr said because I didn't know a ton about the issue either. And honestly, I wanted to know a little more about it. But the more I find out, the more I laugh because apparently you can't say anything about China if it's not approved by the Chinese government, or you risk losing every dollar that seeps into the NBA from China.
Wow. Yep.
And
they got a lot of money. Mr. Chinaman, say it is Chinaman way.
Ding-a-ling, a-ching, a-chong, a-ching, a-chong, a-chong. Oh, that's terrible.
They were angry. They were furious about the NBA commissioner's comment that I can't suspend free speech in America over this. They were furious about that. They really feel that nothing, no one can say one word about the protesters there or their point or anything there, or it's just not worth having the NBA.
So amazing that South Park just did this episode last week on China, and then boom, this hits.
True.
It's amazing, the timing of that.
South Park and of course...
300th episode tonight.
John Oliver, too.
Yeah, John Oliver went after China.
Yeah, I got to watch. I still have that.
No. That is so insane.
Yeah.
I haven't seen The Simpsons.
It's that whole thing where you don't have people, your economy can't grow.
Yeah. Yeah. Really? You can't do the math that far down the line?
No, you can have a good economy with some big-breasted bang dolls. Headless. Sure.
They're not good contributors.
Huge-tubed sex dolls. Well, sex robots.
There's population control now because,
too many dudes.
But
regarding the NBA in China, did you see Stephen A. Smith try to take it to another level?
Oh, and they cut him off.
I thought they
went into commercial. What was he trying to say, by the way?
Well, here, I'll play it for you. Because I thought it was actually a pretty good point.
I would remind you that throughout this world, one of the things that exists is the Israeli-Palestinian conflict. I don't see folks outside of the Jewish community talking about that too often.
Okay,
why?
Guys,
because
let's
guess
do
what?
This.
When
let's
you
come
open
back
your
to this.
Mouth, you have to be careful.
Okay, let's take a commercial break. Sometimes, obviously, your moral compass trumps business interests. We saw it can cost you your job.
Not very often.
Colin Kaepernick. Let's get a commercial break in. We will get into Zion, and maybe we'll discuss this as well.
I'm not finished. Yeah, you are, Stephen. They're not going to let you talk about the Israeli-Palestinian conflict.
By the way, when did moral compass trump business interests?
Well, she says she gave the example of Colin Kaepernick.
And how did that work?
Well, not well for him. That's her point.
No, she said moral compass trumps business interests.
Well, because he could have just shut up and played, I think was her point.
Actually, moral compass trumping business interests happens so few times, that seems like it would be a news story.
Actually, he made more money probably by not playing than playing, didn't he? Because he won his suit. The NFL paid him off to go away.
How much did he make by not playing?
There's been disputes on
Nike.
How much money
made a lot of money with Nike, too.
Which he was under contract already for. They were debating whether or not to drop him. I mean, the thing could be said, if he played, he could have had that deal, too.
Well, for him, I think you can say that to a degree.
And he could have also done this after he retired, fought this whole case, and made the same amount of money. I mean, that argument...
I don't know.
So you think it was a business decision in his mind?
No, I don't.
But he was making a stance.
But he's one person. The league basically said, hey, this isn't good. Our fans do not like this, and it must go away. Mm-hmm. And as much as people didn't like that and pop off about it, it's not an issue. And the players played the Super Bowl. It's funny that, you know, Rihanna's saying, oh, yeah, I can't play the Super Bowl. I just, without Colin Kaepernick, does he really... If Rihanna said to him, you know, I really want to play halftime at the World Series, the Super Bowl, it's the biggest audience I could possibly ever have, he would say, no, don't. And all these young artists who are African Americans, too, he really doesn't want them to play halftime. The players are playing.
She never even talked to Colin Kaepernick.
I know, but what's, I don't even understand the point.
She said it was in solidarity with, I don't think she wanted to do it.
Yeah, but other people play, and other people get to reap the benefits of it.
She'd get shit like Jay-Z gets for his business dealings.
Well, and he followed the money, too.
Did you see the new controversy over the halftime entertainment for this year? Who's very mad about it?
Oh, no. Who?
Gloria Estefan.
Oh, because she's being left out?
Gloria is furious, spilled a source.
She actually maybe has a little bit of an argument. She is the Miami sound machine, right?
Are you the source of the story?
I have to be honest. If
not only is she... Not only isn't she headlining a Latin-themed show in her hometown, she isn't even invited to appear. Gloria built the U.S. breakthrough audience in the 80s with husband Emilio and their Miami band. And now, Gloria believes she's being ignored in the town where she made it happen.
Huh. I have to tell you, if somebody told me they want Miami flavor in the Super Bowl, and the Super Bowl, by the way,
it'd be Pitbull.
Super Bowl has never been ahead of or with the times. They always are playing to an older audience.
And since when does it have to be the city that it's in? I've never seen that.
I don't know.
Preservation Hall Band play in New Orleans.
The first time I heard that was when people wanted rap music in Atlanta.
Yeah, that's it. That's it.
In Miami, and they do suggest that, yes, we're going to do something local there. The Miami Sound Machine, Gloria Estefan, seems to be, as far as somebody who's mass appeal, I know she's older for sure, but I mean, look at a lot of the, Tom Petty wasn't a kid when he played the Super Bowl. Bruce Springsteen, McCartney, Michael Jackson, Janet Jackson, they're not 25 years
Nobody
old.
Nobody knows
the Super
who
Bowl.
She is, though.
Well, Gloria Estefan?
When it was in Detroit, you know, the great Detroit local band Rolling Stones played.
Yeah.
I get it.
That's right.
She should shut up.
Yeah,
it should just be Pitbull.
All this carping is just so silly over the halftime, because if it's so important,
it's perfect, Drew.
If Colin Kaepernick's point is so important, why are the players playing? They could end the Super Bowl, and then there's no Super Bowl. Why is it all about halftime? There's nothing to do with halftime.
I think it's all Rihanna's fault.
It's about making this up. It's about suggesting that the league is blacklisting a player because he's trying to make a point, a social justice point or a larger point, and the players support him and something has to be done. We're going to play, but fuck you people at halftime. Fuck you. How dare you play halftime without asking Colin first? What did Colin give them? You know what? I want the players to play. I give them permission. But the halftime, no. It has to be a blank screen. It doesn't make any sense.
I don't even believe it.
Disturbed has offered to do the national anthem.
Really?
Disturbed?
To put a little rock into the...
Are they from Miami?
Oh, I don't know where they're from.
I bet you anything Gloria Estefan ends up doing the national anthem.
Oh, you're right, she will.
Look at all the silliness, though, surrounding this.
It's great.
All this hot air over nothing.
I kind of want that to happen, though, because...
It's kind of fun.
You know, the Down with the Sickness guys doing the national anthem? It would be wild.
But honestly, this idea that somehow all these people are crossing Colin Kaepernick... No, they're not. The players are crossing him. The players could not play, and that would be the ultimate support for Colin Kaepernick. If there's no game, There's no game. I can't. It's not halftime. Why don't the players support him? Why don't the players say, fuck week six, we're not playing until Colin Kaepernick's on a roster.
Oh, jeez.
Guess what? They got to put him on a roster. Something has to be done. The halftime is just a beauty show. It's just bullshit. Just window dressing.
I've somewhat enjoyed the halftime shows, though.
Well, I have too. No, but this idea that.
But there could be no halftime show. Yeah, you're right. Hey,
going back to Steve Kerr, President Trump has tweeted about it.
About Steve Kerr not saying anything,
maybe he said it. Oh yeah, he said it. Hang on.
It is funny that all these people
hilarious.
when the almighty dollar is at stake, all of a sudden. Feel that strongly about it.
Are the Chinese wrong to be putting pressure on the NBA, sir?
Well, the NBA is a different thing. I mean, I watch this guy, Steve Kerr, and he was like a little boy. He was so scared to be even answering the question. He couldn't answer the question. He was shaking. Oh, I don't know. I don't know. He didn't know how to answer the question. And yet he'll talk about the United States very badly. I watched Popovich, sort of the same thing, but he didn't look quite as scared, actually. But they talk badly about the United States, but when it talks about China, they don't want to say anything bad. I thought it was pretty sad, actually. It'll be very interesting. Excuse me?
Are you okay, then, with the Chinese government pressuring the NBA over Hong Kong?
They have to work out their own situation. The NBA is, they know what they're doing, but I watched the way that, like, Kerr and Popovich and some of the others were pandering to China, and yet to our own country, it's like they don't respect it. I said, what a difference. Isn't it sad? It's very sad. To me.
Oh, I see the point he's making. Who's the guy behind him who looks like he's going to burst into tears at any moment?
Very bored. Yeah.
Who is that guy?
It is kind of hilarious, though.
Yeah.
I mean, they'll just blast the, you know what, out of our country. But, oh my God, the almighty China. Don't upset anyone in China.
A ton of money there, though. No. I can see why they're...
Wouldn't it be nice if he would have taken on China at that point for a civil human rights violation?
Well, he wants China to do the investigation of the Bidens, so he's got to be nice.
Why wouldn't he say something?
Because they don't want him saying anything. That was part of the deal for the last meeting they had. He wasn't allowed to talk about it for the week leading up to it.
What, over the tariffs?
According to the... When was the last time he came in, Xi Jinping?
I don't remember.
Winnie the Pooh?
Because they'll probably cut off all communication with him, which wouldn't be a good thing. Honestly, wouldn't be a good thing, though, if they did.
Well,
so I understand why he wouldn't say anything, but don't criticize other people for not saying anything.
Oh, but it's too much fun. He can't resist.
No, I know.
Because those guys blast him. That's all they do is blast him. Stan Van Gundy and LeBron James. And
no, they should blast China as well.
Yeah, but they won't.
The NBA should too, but they won't.
Money. He's just pointing out. I mean, it's a real easy target because they can't say anything. Mm-hmm. So,
but he doesn't either.
No, and honestly,
but his words carry more weight.
Is it over the tariffs?
I think it's, well, yeah, 100%.
I keep thinking, although tariffs...
Whatever this trade deal he's making.
Tariffs seem, well, he knows the art of the deal, so. the
good point.
The tariff deal seems so far away from anything right now. It's like nothing matters. I mean, isn't it weird to think that our country's been completely paralyzed for extended periods of time?
Yeah.
And everything just goes along.
Good.
It's like we don't even need a government.
Nah.
You're right.
Hell no. That's what this is proven.
Hall Financial is the top mortgage company in Michigan for client service and big supporters of our show. Scott Kunis sent me something that he got a listing from the show. He's not even on the air anymore.
No.
Somebody called him. And by the way, that's great. And Drew Franklin sent me a thank you, too, because he got somebody. Supporters of our show, just because they're not on right this minute doesn't mean they won't be back on. But Scott sent them to Hall Financial. He said they did just a killer job, which I demanded he send something to David Hall so we get full credit for it, and to Jess the Sheriff, because Hall Financial offers lower payments, better options, and more personal attention. And why Scott loves them is because they're very organized, and they're not constantly badgering, oh, I need that, oh, I need that, oh, it looks like this fell through, we're going to try this. No, Hall Financial is slick. From beginning to end, they get all the details together, they answer calls, they return emails, and they do it fast. That's why they close in an average of 19 days on a refi, saving you money, versus 44 days by the other guys. That's the average in the industry. 19 days, 25 days sooner, 25 more days of saving money for you. And they shop around, too. They're not stuck with one rate, one deal. They look around for the best deal for you, and that's why some of the people who've gone to them with bumps in their credit have been able to work something out. And some people were just incredibly beholden and pleased with Hall Financial because it literally changed their lives. They were able to buy a house when they couldn't. So find out what's so great about Hall Financial. Find out how you can start saving money on a refi or buy a new home or a dream home. Go to drewandmike.hallfg.com or go to our website and click the link. Fill out the online form, and they'll get back to you in 8 minutes, according to one person. 8 minutes after they click the link.
Wow.
All Financial got back to them.
Wow.
Don't click the link till you're ready.
Yeah, exactly. If you're not ready, don't click it, because they'll be on your ass. 248-308-5000. If you want to save money, don't go to Hall Financial. Hall Financial, you won't be disappointed. NMLS number 1467435. So, a couple local things, because we're going to run out of time here. It's going to just be all me, too. Did you see the crash, the car that hit the house on Chalmers in Detroit? Five teenagers?
No. What were they driving?
I don't know what kind of car they were driving, but it caught on fire when it hit the house.
Really?
And two died, including the driver.
God.
Three are critical. And
what were they doing?
Well, it was a traffic stop, and apparently it's believed that something was going on connected to a string of armed robberies in Detroit. But, you know,
have they talked to the homeowner?
Yeah, they did.
Really?
I want to say the homeowner was uninsured somehow.
Well,
I know. How do you have a house with no insurance? I did. I had a house with no insurance. That's right. For a year. I saved a lot of money. I mean, unfortunately, she was doing what I did, but it didn't work out. But, you know, wouldn't the car's insurance company be forced to pay for it then? You can't drive into someone's house and...
Yeah, you would think. But I bet you they didn't have insurance either, so...
Probably true.
Come on. I mean...
It sounds like...
If I were to guess which one didn't have insurance, it'd be the car.
True.
So...
This could really suck. We may have to start GoFundMe.
Are the police in trouble for chasing them?
Thank you, Brandon. This story is not even a day old. And the attorney for the driver of the car who drove into the house because he didn't want to pull over and killed himself and another passenger, and three passengers are in critical condition, he is blasting the police, suggesting that it was some random pullover, that the cops were just trying to amuse themselves by pulling them over.
Yeah, they love doing that.
Yeah, especially in Detroit. They love just pulling people over just for the sport of it. And that, did you see that, Brandon? Is that why you mentioned that?
Well, I'm looking at the story, and it doesn't mention it in the story. However, I was going down to the comment section, and the very first comment is, the police is at fault for chasing them. I was there, I know. And then people attacking that guy, you know, hey, wait a minute. This driver's going 80 to 100 miles, and you're blaming the police. And
well, the car's going 80 miles an hour. How are they?
It's funny how it's always the cop's fault. No matter what, it's the police's fault.
Well, that's the
attorney. If you break the law and you start and you
drive
away.
That's not just the attorney.
If you break the law and then you get into a high-speed chase, you should be free to go?
Well, they, you know, in most cases, they do. They back off the chase
because
of pressure from the public who feels that all these accidents people have when they're being chased are the cop's fault, not the person who decides to drive away from the cops.
The pressure from the public that wants to see a cool police chase on the news.
Right.
Where's that pressure?
But there's also the alternative where they can track them by helicopter, so they have a better way of going about it.
They do that.
There's no sense in you can't drive away from the police. People try it. It never works out for the better. But when something bad happens, of course, it's the cops' fault because they should have had some sort of a, you know, really loud megaphone to them. We're not chasing you. Slow down.
Whatever that thing.
They actually do have one.
Turning the lights on. It's their fault because then they knew that they might be chasing them, whether they were or they weren't. But you know, I just couldn't get over it. It's like, wait a second. Your client apparently drove a car 80 to 100 miles an hour on a relatively suburban street into a house, imperiling the lives of five people, and you're already blasting the cops, not even a day later. Unbelievable. And then there was the...
that is pretty unbelievable.
I don't know. It's just, it's such an easy thing to do. It's just it's the hot take. It's the cop's fault. It's always the cop's fault.
Regarding that, the car lit on fire, I meant to ask you if you saw the story about the four guys around Ferndale that were stealing, just going to see if cars were unlocked and stealing.
Oh, yeah. That was a couple days ago, wasn't it?
Yeah, earlier this month. Yeah. And one of the reasons they got busted is they stole a Jeep Cherokee.
Yeah.
And they could locate it. And when they located it, the dopes lit it on fire. Like, yeah, that's going to get rid of it, my man. But they found these four guys were stealing cars from all over
yeah,
the area.
Tons of cars. Tons of
stuff.
Cars.
A lot of it, they would just, sometimes they'd open a car and just steal change. Like just walking up and down the streets of Ferndale.
Well, it's a big problem in Ferndale. I remember I left my car unlocked one night. I stole my briefcase and some other stuff in my car. I still have no idea what they got. I have no idea what was in that briefcase. Yeah. No idea. Probably Mike Clark's lunch probably, 10 years ago.
It's probably a block away. They threw it out the window because they realized there's nothing in there.
What was in Mike Clark's briefcase besides the transcript from the Challenger?
That was it.
His sandwich.
That's about it. He had some...
That transcript was in there for 30 years, I think.
Disinfectant wipes or...
Oh, yeah. Yeah, the hand cream.
And, yeah, whatever it's called. I can't think of the word.
Yeah, that was
hand
all
sanitizer.
Hand sanitizer.
That was all in one portal. He had one area that was devoted to health.
All Purell. Did he have those...
Dedicated to health.
Yeah. Those red high heels that one time, didn't he have those?
Oh,
in
yeah, he did.
Too?
They were in there for
occasionally.
Wait, that was.
Then they stayed in his room.
Any prosecutors?
Yeah.
Yeah, boy.
Donna Pendergast.
It was, yeah. Right. Yeah.
Mike, the anniversary of his death is coming up, by the way. It's only 7 days away. Today's John Lennon's birthday. Also, my mom's birthday.
Oh.
Yeah. I remember my mom's birthday.
That's right.
So easy. She would have been 99. John Lennon would have been 79 today.
I know. Wow. Sean Lennon's birthday also.
Yes, who cares?
Of lesser importance.
I saw Yoko's tweet.
Okay. What? What was
Happy
Yoko's
birthday
tweet?
To John and Sean.
Happy birthday.
Time you shut your gay hole, Yoko!
There's also a Catholic priest from Westland who... they were putting on a vigorous defense for this guy. Oh, these liars! And then the jury was having trouble with the verdict because these cases are always old. You know, they're always hard cases anyway. He's facing 15 years in prison. And when it became apparent that the jury was having trouble getting a verdict, well, obviously some people weren't having trouble, but some people were wanting to acquit or they were in disagreement. Mm-hmm. They suggested a plea, and the priest took the plea and admitted, this is on the news last night, that yes, he was counseling this person who had confessed that he was suicidal, and after telling him that you can have a consensual gay sex and still go to heaven, he performed oral sex on the suicidal person seeking counseling.
And so what's his
deal? Looks like he faces up to a year in the plea. So he may not serve any jail time. $1,000 fine.
And then he goes to Catholic
rehab
camp.
They'll send him some other church where he can...
And then he's off to another church. Oh,
can,
nice.
Counsel more people are suicidal.
That's
by
great.
Blowing them. I know. It's just incredible.
Wait, is the guy he counseled still alive?
I don't know. They didn't... yeah, because I think he was part of the case, I believe.
Oh.
And then also...
that's got to make him feel terrible.
Locally, there was the... God, there was a lot of creepy stuff in the news. There was the gross eel guy that was beating off
next
to youth football.
Oh, yeah.
He was on trial. The bowling alley videotaper guy was on trial.
Sitting at his plea, yeah.
And his attorney was saying, this man is shamed. He's a broken man. And everybody's having a blast with this. He kind of points at the prosecution like they're having so much fun with it.
Yeah, like they want to...
He's videotaping people in the bathroom.
Yeah, men, other men peeing.
The fuck. And then there was the 16-year-old who gave birth and stabbed the baby to death and left it in a bathroom closet.
How did you do that?
I know. These teen mom stories are just always...
Hey, did you see 48 Hours 2 weeks ago with the teen mom story?
Yes.
What'd you make of all that? The girl gave birth and then...
I thought she was guilty.
You don't think it was stillborn? You think she really... Really? I thought it seemed like a really forced confession to me.
I thought if she... Well, the confession may have been screwed up, but I thought if she wanted that baby to live, first of all, she would have called 911.
Yeah.
Or she would have gone to the hospital when she didn't feel well. She would have gotten the proper prenatal care.
Well,
she knew a month before that she was pregnant.
Oh, I'm sure she didn't want to have the baby. But
no, she didn't want the baby.
The question was, did she murder the baby?
Well, only she knows that.
Because the baby was born, she said it was stillborn, so she went out in the middle of the night and buried it in the backyard. The prosecutor said, that baby was burnt. You actually burned it.
If you really wanted to have that baby, I would think you would call 911 or you would go to the hospital.
Though. I'm sure she didn't want to have the baby. She was probably scared.
So she was lucky that it was stillborn, in other words?
Probably.
Okay. Well, they weren't able to determine if it was stillborn.
Exactly.
So
it was a tricky case.
To reiterate that rule that you can just drop the baby off at the fire department.
Safe haven.
And it's fine.
Yeah. Safe haven law.
I have to answer any questions, leave a name or anything. You just...
Yep.
Jet.
I don't think she wanted her parents to know she was pregnant, and she
did not let
the baby live one way or another. Maybe she suffocated it. I don't know.
God damn.
That was awful.
But if
fun stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hey, did you? Well,
stories.
There's some more fun stuff. Did you
hear
Alec Baldwin?
Oh, what a dick.
Oh, the Statue of Liberty?
Yeah, posted on Instagram how they need to crack down on these scammers who are taking people out instead of taking them to the Statue of Liberty. They're just taking them near it. And $80, charging $80 for that. And he's mad. And
he got scammed.
Should we start a GoFundMe
for him? Wasn't
him
that got scammed?
He got scammed.
Yeah.
Should we start a GoFundMe for him so he gets his $80 back?
So now New York, the mayor is going to, de Blasio is going to crack down on these guys. But
oh, because Alec Baldwin said something?
Alec Baldwin, what's your first thought? You know, can't you like afford?
Well, I would have thought, first of all, I would have thought that the guy that scammed him, that Alec would be guilty of assaulting or killing that guy. You would have found him by now.
Yes. Who would actually have the courage to scam Alec Baldwin?
I also thought about, what's her name, Hilarious Baldwin or Hilaria or whatever. I would have thought that I was worried for her because I was imagining the transaction, her going, oh, that sounds great, Alec. And if she had encouraged him, that she would then get yelled at afterwards, possibly.
That's for sure.
He's yelling at someone.
Definitely. Yeah, he's yelling at all kinds of people. Todd and Julie Chrisley, by the way, had to pay off $150,000 and fines, hundreds of thousands of dollars in taxes, and $150,000 fine.
What about the sex tape?
I thought he's a good Christian man, isn't he? Mm. Wait, he's the one that says that had claimed he had a sex tape of his daughter,
yes,
and he was going to expose her if she didn't testify in his behalf.
Yeah, but he's
going to.
He's going to. He's going to have to wait to get
tips.
Oh, frosted tips.
He's going to need, save up his money.
I have the most frosted tips. You can't frost tips any more than I do.
Do y'all like frosting? Look at these tips. I know they set a record. Sorry.
Was
that his frosted tips record?
No, I'm sorry.
He's
I got distracted
the score
by
of the baseball game.
Oh, I see.
Cardinals scored 10 runs in the first inning.
It's a record.
It's game five, right?
Yep.
Up. See ya.
Bye-bye. Good job, Fulton.
Did Yachty do anything?
Probably. Everybody had to have done something.
Can you check Yachty? I'm a big Yachty fan.
Because you like saying Yachty?
He's got he's 0-for-3 with a run.
What?
Yeah. Good job.
They didn't need him. He drove in the tying and winning run in game four.
Hey, did you see that video I sent you of Justin Trudeau today? He really knows how to make a scandal go away, doesn't he?
You know, this he's apologizing to two small black children for wearing blackface.
He's apologizing on a Facebook watch show, you know, like one of those shows on Facebook.
Sorry.
Called New Mom Who Dis, which really, do you want the leader of your country going on a Facebook watch show called that?
Well, he's apologizing to these kids and saying that he's hurt them by wearing blackface.
Yes.
And I'm thinking, those kids don't even know what blackface is. You just hurt them by telling them.
Explain
to them
show.
You hurt them.
No, it's really
funny. If you hadn't said that, they wouldn't know. They'd go on their way. They'd be playing and having a ball.
And when you watch the video, if anybody sees it, there's a white girl who ends up in the bottom right every time of the scene. Did you notice her?
No.
Who just has this shit-eating grin like, what are you doing, Trudeau? We've moved past this, you moron. Why are you bringing this up again?
I'd forgotten about it.
She's laughing about the whole thing.
Do you want to stand up and ask a question?
What did you paint your face brown?
Oh, wait, pause for a second. Really, was that spontaneous?
Yeah,
really? Really? Some. How old are these kids? Five?
I think they're older than five.
They're pretty small.
Seven.
really, those kids, that's what's on their mind, is that he was in blackface in 2001?
Yeah, it's like, we're going to this Trudeau show, I'm going to hammer him about brownface.
How dumb do they think we are? Really? You think we're that stupid?
I don't know, but the little redhead girl in the background is just loving the whole thing.
Do you want to stand up and ask a question?
What did you paint your face brown?
Ooh. It was something I shouldn't have done, because it hurt people.
It didn't hurt people at the time.
You should do. And that is something that I learned. I didn't know it back then.
What about the people in the picture who are laughing?
I'm sorry, I hurt people.
They hurt people, too.
Did you paint your nose and your hands, Ben?
Are you laughing at the white girl?
Oh, my God.
Yeah. And it was
also giving the finger to the camera, by the way.
I had a good conversation with my
kids. This is a great teaching moment, isn't it? I've learned so much.
It's so funny.
Sticking up for each other. And not teasing each other and being respectful towards each other.
Wow. And I would elect him if he were running for something. Is he running for anything?
Kids,
who, there she is again.
You know, get face teasing and discrimination because of the color.
He has turned something really bad into something really good.
Anywhere around the world, we all have to.
What a great teaching moment this is.
He looks like a dork sitting.
So proud of him.
Loser.
I forgive him.
Well,
thank God he went on that show.
Yeah.
By the way, I heard. I didn't know who it was. I just read the headline that someone from Desperate Housewives was saying that Felicity Huffman, 14 days, that's white privilege. I saw her white privilege for 8 years.
Her co-star from Desperate Housewives.
Which one?
The guy who was...
a guy? Yeah, there's a guy on Desperate Housewives?
Yeah, the guy who...
Oh, yeah, the chick's got a bang.
Eva Longoria's on-screen husband, the guy who was being cuckolded by
Mark
the pool boy.
Was it Mark Consuelos?
No. Different guy. I haven't seen him in anything since then, so he's he's clearly bitter.
Well,
Ricardo Chavera.
Ah, yes, Ricardo Chavera.
Everyone knows who you are.
Oh, that was in your prep, Brandon.
Is another idea I've had that doesn't seem to be getting a lot of momentum. You know, this whole business of white privilege, which is, when that came out, I was like, what? Apologies? What, just people? Anybody should apologize for their white privilege? People who had no choice what they looked like when they were born? And I started thinking about, for example, people who were born hot. Shouldn't they apologize for their hot privilege? Because it does give you an advantage. Or your height privilege. But if you take it to, really, really beautiful people, shouldn't they apologize? That's a privilege they got when they were born, and it's an advantage for the rest of their lives. People who don't look as good as them aren't treated as well.
But what if you think you're hot and then you apologize and everybody's like, not you?
Well, no, it would be hard to apologize. But then I thought about, let me think of a good example. I'll try to think of somebody apologizing that sounds ridiculous. Okay. Rocky Dennis. he's really got it tough. Rocky Dennis, right?
Yeah.
The guy from Mask?
Yeah, yeah. Tough break.
Rocky Dennis.
The Eric Stoltz version, though.
Let's just say that, I don't know how, but Rocky Dennis in his... Wait, is Rocky Dennis alive, by the way?
No. He died a long time ago.
From his face?
He died in the movie.
Or whatever happened?
He died in the movie.
I didn't know what happened.
Someone got scared and shot him. He had AIDS, Drew. Come on.
No, Rocky Dennis died in 78.
What did he die of?
AIDS.
His head.
He saw the movie.
Well, that's what I said. He said his face. I meant his head.
17 years old. Wait,
did he really die from his head?
His head.
Cause of death, head. I don't know. I died. I assume it had something to do with his head.
When's Bradley Cooper going to play him on stage?
He'll transform into him. He won't even need makeup.
He'll just go blow out
Brandon,
his cheeks.
Do you think he can do Rocky? Can you transform into Rocky Dennis, Brandon?
He'll pull his hair back.
Great job on the Elephant Man.
Pull your hair back, Brandon, and just puff out your cheeks.
I can't do it.
I haven't even gotten to my point. I think this might sound funny, but just think about this and think of how ridiculous it is. Let's say Rocky Dennis, say he's alive, and he's feeling really guilty about his white privilege. And he meets Michael Jordan, and he apologizes to Michael Jordan for his white privilege. Shouldn't Michael Jordan apologize to Rocky Dennis for his athletic privilege? Yeah.
No one should.
Isn't that ridiculous?
I know
Rocky Dennis is white, but the guy's been dealt a lot of bad cards. And here's Michael Jordan, born with this incredible ability. Why would Rocky Dennis apologize to Michael Jordan?
He wouldn't.
Doesn't that seem silly? But my understanding is that people on college campuses are being encouraged to apologize to random people.
No one should apologize for the any way they were born. You don't have a choice.
I know, but people are being encouraged to
dumb.
Do that.
They're dumb.
So what if Rocky Dennis actually felt he had to apologize to Michael Jordan for his white privilege? Wouldn't that be insane?
That's Yeah.
And shouldn't Michael, look at Michael Jordan, look at what his athletic privilege has done for him. I mean, none of us could be Michael Jordan.
Well, then they could just be in a...
Shouldn't he be more apologetic than Rocky Dennis?
They could just go into an apology tape loop with each other. And...
I want Michael Jordan to fucking apologize. It's about time, isn't it?
I mean,
look at all he's received from his athletic gifts. Has he ever apologized to everyone else for the gifts we didn't get?
He's overdue. Although, he does have one, kind of like frail... There's something that he's not great at.
Baseball?
Commercials.
Well, that's
not
true.
Very charismatic on TV.
But his athletic privilege allows him to be less than stellar at commercials and still get big endorsement deals.
Sure.
He owes me an apology. He owes all of us an apology. He really does.
And then just a few
and poor
other...
Rocky Dennis, who probably would be out there wildly apologizing if he was alive.
So Rocky Dennis died from the calcium deposit disease, so it just kind of affected his brain, and he died at 17.
What was his head?
Cher.
God.
Who played his mother, Cher.
She's dead.
No, Cher is
still
alive. That
was just wishful thinking.
But the actual mother died in 2006 after a motorcycle accident.
Oh.
She got an infection from it. But Rocky's half-brother died in 87.
Oh, my God. From what?
AIDS.
Head. Oh, he really
Seriously?
Did.
Seriously?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
I mean,
was
sorry.
It a car accident or was it actually the...
Just complications from AIDS.
Okay. Yeah. So they got him out of the car before he couldn't control it, apparently.
They did.
I mean, at least there's that. But, I mean, imagine, if you will, the Dennis family, had they all lived somewhat happily ever after in spite of all the odds they had against them, and they run into Michael Jordan somewhere signing autographs, and the family as a whole apologizes to Michael Jordan for the white privilege. I don't like that. I feel it's wrong.
That is ridiculous.
Well, I mean, that's
ridiculous.
What they would have been supposed to do. So, let's see. Can we move on with the Me Too Thursday?
Sure.
The new book, let's see, what's the title of the new book? It looks like
Elton John's.
Looks like a I didn't mention Elton John's coming back. He didn't say goodbye to enough people. And so his farewell tour, he's going to come to Detroit again to catch a goodbye to those who did not did not get to say goodbye to.
Me too.
No, there's 4.5 million people here. He's going to have to come back a lot of times to apologize to or to say goodbye to everyone.
Thing was Captain Kangaroo, too. Don't forget that.
Captain Kangaroo trending
today
on Twitter. That was heavy. The Eagles are doing a Hotel California tour where they play the whole album straight through.
Oh, gross.
Which is funny because I feel like that's the song you can't get away from. It's everywhere. I think so many people are sick of it. But, I mean, it was a great album. I looked at the album and I'm like, there are a lot of good songs on that album, but it seems like the Eagles are so... Don't they need to take a couple years off or something?
Oh, hell yeah. Please.
But Vince
Gill's
tour
with them.
And, yeah, Joe Walsh is great. And they have a choir and they have an orchestra. So what's this ticket going to cost? They always charge a lot. This ticket's going to be like $10,000 for one seat to see the Eagles. There was one other rock and roll.
To apologize for their white privilege.
They should apologize. Well, this is, I guess it belongs in this category. I am so Miley Cyrus'd out.
Oh, God, yeah.
I can't even see straight. I mean, like, Alex Trebek, I'm less Alex Trebek'd out than Miley Cyrus'd out. First of all, anytime she comes in contact with anyone's genitals, we have to hear all about it and see them everywhere. Mm-hmm. And now she's in the hospital, so we have to hear all about her. She's posting about her tonsillitis and asking for prayers and good vibes. And then it wrapped up by saying that she is still hoping, with your good vibes, that she can make it to this concert, this charity concert, which is for gorilla conservation.
What?
I know. I wasn't really aware that needed a gorilla conservation aid concert. Did you guys know that there was a problem with the gorillas?
I did not.
No. I see them at the zoo, which has still blocked me on Twitter, by the way.
Really?
Yeah.
Anyway, I'm so Miley Cyrus'd out. Is she overexposed? Is there no level of exposure that makes her overexposed?
No. I can't work out the math on that, but yeah, she's overexposed. In fact, we had to see her again on, I think, was it Access Hollywood? Because she's in the same frame as Jared Leto, who, when they were at the Met Gala, You know how he dresses like insane?
Oh, yeah.
And so he had his replica made of his head. And
which, which he's totally had sex with, by the way.
Understandable.
Well, I'd have sex with Jared Leto's fake head.
I would, too.
It would be a hate crime, though, if you guys did. Because he's so preposterous. But he loses his head. And now he's put a word out, you know, on social media that if you return his head to, I don't know what designer it was, he'll give you one of
Miley Cyrus's shoes.
And Miley Cyrus and Liam Hemsworth are in the frame. And you know what? I don't know if I know this now, but Liam Hemsworth looks like, God damn, what a pain in the ass she is. And I'm sorry I got back with her.
Oh, yeah. You know, he was, that was one of his problems was, why does she have to make such a spectacle of herself, you know,
everywhere,
licking people and humping people on the dance floor at the Met Gala? And he just really wanted her to be his, you know, just sort of be his wife.
Just be, you know, and normal.
What did they split up like 2 minutes ago? And she's already made out with 19 people in every media place you could ever find. And, you know, she's humping girls, humping guys. Yeah. And wait, she went from, who's her new guy? Simpson?
Oh, Cody.
Cody Simpson. Yeah. Who's this guy? I didn't know who he was.
No, but he's got abs.
Don't even get to know him, though.
How does Aaron Carter have these abs, by the way?
Drugs? I don't know.
So, I mean, weren't you kind of surprised to see the picture of him? Because he had that his face is completely green blobbed. By the way, somebody sent me a picture of him. I laughed out loud because the subject line was, green blob incoming. And it was the picture of Aaron Carter's face tattoo. Oh, my God, is that a huge green blob? And I guess he wants to get the rest of his face covered, but the guy didn't want to do it.
Yeah.
So I guess he's going to be completely covered with tats.
Well, that's good.
Kind of Aaron Carter'd out, too.
Yeah.
Any Righteous Rick final word available
can't
yet?
Can't talk.
Oh, boy. Okay. Well, the exciting...
I'm happy to announce, though, that I've just set up the GoFundMe campaign to get Alec Baldwin his $240.
Oh, great.
Yay.
Thank you.
If anybody wants to donate, it's GoFundMe, and I believe it's... let's skip this part. I believe it's, yeah, it's called Get Alec Baldwin a Refund.
Yeah.
Cool.
If anybody wants to donate.
Poor Alec Baldwin.
So going back to trending on Twitter, because I laughed twice. The first time was when I saw... Joe Biden demands Trump be impeached. I'm like, wait, Joe Biden finally? He's running against him. He's asking the president of Ukraine to investigate him and his son, you know, to twist the election as the impeachment, you know, as the charge is. And Joe Biden apparently is feeling so squirrely about the whole thing. He doesn't say anything until today. Isn't that a little interesting?
Slow down. He would
be the last person to say that Trump should be impeached.
Did you see Trump's tweet about it?
No, I didn't.
Oh. Yeah,
I think he likes it that way, though. I think he wants to be the last guy. So it looks like he, you know.
Wouldn't it look better, though, if he'd been up front?
To lunch.
I think maybe there's some squirrely stuff there and maybe just didn't really want to be associated with the whole story.
Oh, you think he doesn't blow it up?
So, you know, his kid making 50 grand a month for
everyone doesn't know
showing up at an event once in a while.
Right. So pathetic to see sleepy Joe Biden, who with his son Hunter and to the detriment of the American taxpayer has ripped off at least two countries for millions of dollars, calling for my impeachment. And I did nothing wrong. Joe's failing campaign gave him no other choice. And then he tweeted out this pretty cool video where there's based three real facts that
Joe Biden pressured Ukraine to fire its prosecutor.
If the prosecutor's not fired, you're not getting the money. Well, son of a bitch. Got fired.
Fact. The prosecutor said he was forced out for leading a corruption probe into Hunter Biden's company.
He did say that.
Fact. Democrats want to impeach President Trump for discussing this investigation with Ukraine's president. Fact. Donald Trump won, but Democrats want to overturn the election. Don't let them.
I'm Donald.
Hey, care to guess what Democrats that he used for that part when it says Democrats want to overturn the election? Care to guess which ones he used?
I'm going
to
guess AOC, Omar, Pelosi.
The squad?
Tlaib.
Yeah, Tlaib.
Tlaib, Sanders, and Warren, and AOC, and then it ends with Pelosi and Schumer together.
Oh, okay.
All checks?
Well, no.
Schumer.
Ernie.
Schumer. I was thinking of Amy. Oh, my God. Oh, hilarious.
Chuck. Uncle Chuck.
Okay, so the other side of the Me Too today, because it's Me Too Thursday.
Great.
was the new Trump book, All the President's Women, Donald Trump and the Makings of a Predator. And there's a lot of things already coming out about this that are kind of interesting. First of all, he was dating a girl named Selena Middlefart. Isn't that weird? I mean, honestly, I feel like when Trump found out her name, he would dump her. Here he'd go, no, I don't want to be somebody named Middlefart. But she was his date.
Oh, I heard the middle one there.
When he met Melania.
Yeah. Well, maybe he realized what her last name was.
Anyway, she's 25 years old. Trump's like maybe 50, maybe a little younger. Yeah, probably about 50. Middlefart, apparently.
She's cute, too.
She's very cute. She's blonde. She's beautiful.
She's an heiress.
I have to say, when someone says that they were assaulted by Trump and they're not hot, I don't believe them. Does anybody else do that?
Like the Bergman... changing room.
Goodman. Oh, yeah, she didn't... Well, I don't know. She was pretty... Well, a long time ago. She was prettier than I thought she was, but she didn't look like his type to me.
Middlefart's a Victoria's Secrets model.
Yeah, no, she fits. Well, he dated her. She acknowledges dating him. Mm-hmm. Anyway, he's with her on a date when he meets Melania, and apparently Middlefart goes to the shitter, and Trump moves in on Melania.
Yeah.
He moves in like a bitch on Melania while Middlefart's in the
like
shitter.
A bitch and,
and while she's in the shitter, and it sounds like it was number two because all this stuff happened while she was in there, he asks Melania for her phone number. She declines but says, I'll take your phone number. He proceeds to give her like 17 phone numbers. Like, if you want to reach me at Mar-a-Lago, it's this. If you want to reach me in New York at my penthouse, it's this. If you want to reach me at my family home, it's this. You know, he's got all these phone numbers, which blew her away.
This is what Trump told Melania.
She said she hadn't gone number two in 10 days, but today was D-Day.
So then, also there's a girl he dated in the late 1990s named Maureen Gallagher. Yeah. Did you see her?
Yeah, she's very hot. Mm-hmm. She looks a little bit more like Melania.
Did that kind of do something in your brain when you saw her?
What do you mean?
Is she black?
No.
She's not?
I don't think so.
Oh, I thought she was black.
But maybe because of the name Maureen Gallagher, I just assumed she wasn't.
Well, I looked at her and she looked... Look her up, Trudy.
Okay.
I thought, I didn't know Trump dated a black chick. Not that I care
or
it matters.
She was black, yeah.
Okay. Well, I mean, she looks black. I mean, she's black.
She's hot.
She's very hot. She's extremely attractive.
She doesn't look black in this picture, does she? Well, it's black. It's a black and white picture. So.
Well, look at the pictures Brandon's
putting up there.
No, I know.
She's definitely black, yeah.
Yeah. Huh. And she's incredibly hot, too.
Oh, yeah.
And it's funny because he's dating her for a while, and it sounds to me like this girl, she was having fun, like, oh, I'm dating this rich guy, and, you know, we fly here and fly there and private jets and all this fun. But it sounds to me like she wasn't really interested in him long term, but she was having fun. And in the same period, he's dating a girl named Kara Young, who is also extremely hot. Can you believe the chicks Trump pulls?
Gallagher's comment's pretty hot because she says with Trump, she was unable to give him the kind of affirmation he seemed to need. Quote, he said to me, you love me, don't you? You're in love with me. And I was like, he's a megalomaniac. I didn't know what to say. I was like, I like fucking you. I was like, I don't want to spend enough time with you to be in love with me. I told him straight up, I'm having fun.
Yeah, she was having fun.
It's his problem.
Well, he's single. I think he's looking to get married.
He likes to own things.
Yeah, he just got divorced, though.
Well, not just divorced.
Look at that picture. Holy crap.
She's a knockout.
Yeah, Kara Young is really hot, too.
She's gorgeous. Yeah. And apparently Kara Young was the one that really got his attention.
Oh.
And, Maureen Gallagher, it's funny, you know, for all she says about it, I just wanted to fuck him. I was having fun fucking him and doing this and doing that. Somebody in this book said that she was a little miffed because she found out that Kara Young had a Trump credit card.
Oh, yeah.
And she's all over town charging this and charging that, you know, just having a ball with Trump's credit card. And she liked Trump. She hung out with him. She rented movies with him. You know, they did sort of couple stuff. But he asked her to marry him, and she had a young son from her previous relationship, and I guess she just was not up for getting married right then. And she said no. So Anyway, he meets Melania at this event where he's with Selena Middlefart. And when she went to the shitter and she was there for hours, apparently, unloading.
Yeah.
And so he makes this move on Melania.
Let's just say they had to throw her underwear out at the A&P.
But
he said it came out so compact that it looked like a V8 can that was followed by what she referred to as 2 minutes of hot dog water.
He's still seeing this Kara Young while he's seeing Melania. And Melania was apparently just blistering jealous of Kara Young.
Well, she found her makeup.
Yeah, well, yeah, she found her stuff.
Hot, man.
At his place. Yeah, and Trump couldn't give her up.
And I think she might be African-American as well, or at least Melania.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
That's what
look at this picture. She looks white there, doesn't she?
I know.
I wasn't sure.
I think she has maybe...
Look at that bush. Gross.
Is that really her?
The headline said something to the effect of Kara Young, Trump's black ex-girlfriend.
Thank you.
Wow, she is. Oh, man.
Bush is
She's
gross.
Quite beautiful. So anyway, Melania sort of wins that war, but they're kind of going through his it sounds like his single years. Oh, my God, the model after model after model. But there's this other girl named Karen Johnson who is at this event at Mar-a-Lago on New Year's Eve. I don't think she's black.
I don't know. I'm just...
Anyway, she's there with a relative and also with her husband who has MS, and he's not doing well. She had married him at Mar-a-Lago also, and she said she had met Trump and he was nice to her. And she did say that she was kind of chuckling because she said he had chased a few of her bridesmaids around. I don't know what that means exactly, but I think we have an idea. So New Year's Eve, she's there with her husband, her MS husband, and he's bumming out because he's got MS and doesn't feel like partying all night. And the relative. And at some point, he's like, you know, I got MS. I got to get out of here. This sucks. And the relative's like, yeah, I'll go with him because he's got MS. And
this sucks. I don't want to be here either.
And, you know, he's just not feeling like being mobile. He wants to be home. I want to shut him up in his room and get on with my life. And Karen decides.
Sensitive recounting of this.
I don't know how else to put it. I'm, you know, just state the facts. Karen, meanwhile, is like, well, I want to stay in parties New Year's Eve. What the fuck you? I mean, whatever, you know, I understand.
Yeah.
But let me go to the shitter and I'll come back and say goodbye. So she goes to the bathroom. Everything seems to revolve on the bathroom. She's coming back from the bathroom to say goodbye to her MS husband and the friend who's apparently... I don't understand. What's this friend there? Just to basically take care of the MS guy while she parties her ass off?
I don't know if you heard, but I just took a pretty aggressive dump.
Trump, who does not know she took a dump, Trump sees her walking back from the restroom and grabs her, and she says he pulled her behind a... tapestry. I don't even know what a tapestry is. Is that a curtain?
Wall hanging?
Pretty much, yeah. Wall, yeah.
He pulls her behind there, and she says he just starts making out with her. And she's, like, completely flummoxed by this. And then she said, he grabs her and says, you got to help me greet the guests. Which is like, what?
Yeah, he what does that even mean?
Grab her by the pussy.
Made out with her, and he wants her to greet the guests as they're leaving? That's weird.
But wants to just incorporate her into his, you know, activity for the evening.
But he supposedly doesn't even know her, or he barely knows her from when she got married years earlier. Anyway, she says that she stood next to him and said goodbye to the guests with him, which I thought was very strange. Then he starts calling her every day. She says, I don't even know, I got my phone number. Starts calling her every day saying, hey, come see me in New York, because she's still down in Florida. And she said, well, my husband's dying of MS, and I'm taking care of him. She's like, ah, don't worry about it. He'll never know. I'll fly up in the morning. I'll fly home before 6 p.m. And she said he called every day for a week, and she just kept saying, no, 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 no. I was having a hard time figuring out, why does she answer the phone?
Yeah.
Why would you keep talking to him? But she made it sound like,
Caller ID.
2000? I don't know. Maybe she didn't. But... it's just a really, it's a very strange story.
It wouldn't be the same phone number anyway, because he had 17 of them, remember?
That's true.
Yeah.
But if she was so unnerved by, you know.
555-5555.
Your stupid MS husband won't even know. I'll fly in, I'll fly back.
She would not be my first choice, that I can tell.
She is a knockout, too. I thought she was really pretty. But she implied that he was a little insensitive about the MS husband.
Yeah.
She was so angry.
But she talks to him every day for a week, and then I guess he got bored of her saying no, and so he moved on.
I think she's got some very deep-seated problems.
And that
she's
was
basically
just,
a disaster.
That was just sort of a teaser for the book. And I'm sure the book, because they said there's 43 accusers named in the book. 26 of them say that they were groped in some way.
She doesn't tell the facts.
So the number the media uses is 22, so there's got to be four new gropees.
She's a goofus.
And oh, to read about?
I guess so.
Nice.
And 19 accusers of something of that nature.
He's got another chick that's currently on his tail right now and talking some trash, too.
That?
It truly is remarkable how obsessed he remains with me, but... this latest tweet is, so typical of him. Nothing has been more examined and looked at than my emails. We all know that.
I'm
so
back.
He's either lying or delusional or both. There was no subpoena, as he says in a tweet this morning. So maybe there does need to be a rematch. I mean, obviously, I can beat him again. But
Wait, beat him again? What exactly does that mean?
She means she can beat him in the general election again and probably lose the election.
So her goal was to get more votes but not to win the presidency?
Apparently, yeah. It's a success. She's very happy.
So maybe there does need to be a rematch. I mean, obviously, I can beat him again. But
I would have to stop her if I were the reporter and say, beat him again? What exactly do you mean by that?
Well,
is she suggesting that some conspiracy...
Yeah,
kept her from being president, that she legitimately beat him?
She's delusional.
Probably, I thought the idea was to get 270 electoral votes.
I don't. Would all this be happening if I had been elected president?
I don't care anything about that. I want to know who lit that fire under her again. Who told her that she could do it? Because
I think he is really taunting her, and I don't know. I could almost see her.
And I haven't given up on her yet.
She's just trying to sell that book.
I wouldn't be shocked if she explores the idea.
I'm
just saying.
I really think that somewhere down the line she might pop in.
No way.
Especially if Biden gets buried.
No way.
If Biden gets buried.
Biden seems losing a lot of ground.
To that point, for the first time, Elizabeth Warren leads a national poll.
Exactly.
She's passed him.
So... I don't know. This whole impeachment thing is not good for Biden because it's going to bring Biden up every time it comes up.
And to that point, a new Fox News poll has support to be impeached and removed at 51%.
Yeah, I saw earlier today they said 50% versus 43%, which is almost exactly what his support level is with his partisans.
Yeah,
is 43%. Which I think that makes sense, but if it goes beyond,
if it goes
5% higher,
it's a 9-point change from the last time we did that poll.
Well, you can't.
42%.
The news the last couple weeks has not been real good for him.
Well, and now the breaking news now is remember that whole thing about Turkey not invading Syria?
Yeah.
Oops. Because they have, and they've already killed a couple people. It attacked the Kurds, and there are no 10,000 ISIS guys roaming free.
But our people are there, aren't they?
No, they all left.
Already?
Yeah, there were only 50 people there. They were rolled on out. And he said, they better not cross the border.
Wait, there were only 50 people there?
With the Kurds guarding those prisons. That was the problem.
Oh, I thought it was a lot more than 50. I didn't know it was 50
in northern
people.
Syria. That's what he was talking about. That's why he's like, yeah, it's only 50 people. The problem was they were overseeing and helping the Kurds guard these prisons. And we all know how Turkey feels about the Kurds.
Well.
It's
more
a
bad
fucking
news.
Mess, because now you got ISIS prisoners freed. Great.
Yeah, 12,000 of them.
Why are there only 50 people guarding that many ISIS people?
Low overhead. No, there weren't just 50. The Kurds, the northern Iraqi Kurds, were in there. They helped push ISIS out of Iraq.
But can I ask a dumb question? So they can't guard, they're guarding 10,000 people, but without our 50, they can't possibly pull that off?
Turkey wasn't going to go in there if we were in there.
Our 50 people?
We had a presence.
Oh,
right? We have a presence there. They're not going to fuck with America because we're there, but now we're gone. So who cares about these ethnic Kurds?
Well, let's put 100 in, and that'll be the end of them.
Well, so now we're sending more people in?
No, I'm just kidding.
It's a mess.
I didn't realize the number was 50. I'm stunned by that.
That's what he said in his defense. He said it's only 50 people.
Well, he said that. Is it really 50, though? I mean, him saying it and being actually 50 are two different things.
I always take him at his word.
50 people? Really?
It's the presence that we had there. It's all about how many. It could be two people, Drew. It could be 50,000. It's that we had a presence there.
Well, at least
it's easy. The second we vacate, what a shock. Someone else went in there.
Turn the plane around. 50 people.
I wish it was that easy.
It sounds like it is.
Yeah. Well, it's easy to get them out of there.
Oh.
What?
What now?
What happened?
What now?
Is this breaking news?
Oh, God.
What?
I'd rather just turn the show off than get into this.
No, there's a lot of bullshit today.
This is so stupid. Well, the Me Too stuff was interesting, I thought.
No, you're right.
I mean, the Lauer story is really...
Lauer stuffing his no-lubed penis wherever he wants.
That would be a civil trial. I think it would be very interesting to watch.
Yeah, yeah.
Wouldn't it?
Oh, yeah, definitely. Court
Especially
TV.
If Matt Lauer's just ready to tee off.
Right.
That's a great question. Would she sue him civilly?
Yeah, I would. I don't know why she wouldn't.
You might as well now. Now, well, I mean, now that everybody knows what she
looks
like.
She's out there. Yeah. You know, I don't know why you're talking about it.
By her own choice.
Can she, following receiving the money?
Well, that was from NBC.
Well, I don't know. Why does she try and get him charged if she's really...
Who's going to charge him? First off, was she going to go to Russia? I mean, that's where the crime took place.
Well, you know, it's just interesting, though, that... She says this, and, you know, look at the people on NBC. Oh, my God, this is so horrible. You know, I mean, it's just like, she says it, it's true. I mean, it's a pretty brutal accusation.
They're not going to read his statement.
It was a reason to lie.
Well, he hadn't made the statement yet. I bet you they'll read some of his statement
tomorrow.
Think
so?
Yeah.
What part do you think?
I don't think they'll be very sympathetic about it.
Can you picture Savannah reading the part where he goes,
we had oral, vaginal, and anal.
No, I bet you they'll
use no lube.
Something
breaking
about,
news.
Something about him saying that it was a consensual affair.
Okay.
Beyond that point. Okay.
Yeah, I don't have any lubricant. Do you see any whiteout or like copy toner should work?
I don't know what happened between these two people. Only they know. But it just sounds like it's complicated. That's why I think a civil case, and I just mean this from a total serious issue, shallow thought standpoint, it would be interesting to watch two sides fight that out.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Because there's a lot to it.
Well, isn't it kind of the ultimate he said, she said?
Yeah, it is. Except there's a lot more people who probably know. You know, whether this thing went on and how it went on, and did she look flirty with him? Did she look scared of him? I don't know. I bet they could produce. Well, when you get lawyers involved, it gets, of course, twice as interesting.
She probably had to act normal in the work environment, and
I'd like to know too if she really didn't work for NBC because I'd never heard that.
That's really interesting.
Also, can he lock his office from the inside? Is that true or is that not true? That was one of the biggest.
Who do we
things.
Hire to make that happen here? Kind of cool. Press a button and lock a door.
Can we ask a locksmith to somehow message us about whether there's such a thing?
Well, there's got
to
be. Such
I'm sure a there's a way to do it. I mean, we do it with cars.
Locksmith
cures.
I would just think that. Because, honestly, when that story came out, that was one of the biggest things in that story. He locks the office door while he's sitting at his desk, and then he can do whatever he wants. Right. I mean, I thought it was. It was certainly something that was focused on, but no one ever said it wasn't true, to my knowledge. Why is the boner line number in front of me?
Are you
supposed to plug the boner line?
Oh. No, that was my mock-up to put it on the website.
Oh, like yeah, we're going to just throw it on the website. That way people know because there's some complaints.
Do you like
I don't
the
know
mock-up?
What the number is.
Can you tell it's a boner?
Oh, people are complaining that they don't know what the number is.
I've seen some, yeah.
Why are people complaining so much?
You ever look at the show notes?
209-66-BONER. Oh, is it in the show notes?
Always, yep.
Yeah.
209-66-BONER. Don't ever say you don't know the boner line number. We're going to mock it up and we're going to put this on the website?
We'll put Lauer after you.
Yeah, Zoobs.
Unlubed.
Zoobs has put together a pretty nice visual.
Oh, great. Cool.
Nice.
209-66 boner.
I wondered what he was tracing over there.
Yeah, when you do see it, just know it is a trace.
Sorry, Trudy.
I didn't have to read any of the story to know that.
You made it.
Fuck. Yeah, Trudy, nice job.
You've been here too long.
Wow. That is an interesting.
So I'll come back interesting. In 18 years.
Wow. Okay, the Ellen DeGeneres George Bush story was already too stupid to almost even get into.
So
she is invited to the Cowboys game by Jerry Jones' daughter. She's friends with her. They go. She's in a suite. George Bush is in the suite. Mm-hmm. She's yucking it up with George Bush. They're having a laugh. And all of a sudden people say, oh, my God, how could she possibly talk to George Bush like he's a friend? And she gets heavily criticized. And then she says, look, just because two people don't agree doesn't mean they can't be friends. I mean, it's the most obvious thing. It stuns me she even has to say it.
I thought that was quite well done, though.
I did too.
Didn't you? I mean,
yeah, I did.
Because it was also funny when she was making a point. Like, nobody even mentioned I had a new iPhone.
Yeah, she's good at that.
Yeah.
So, and also I want to mention that Captain Kangaroo was trending on Twitter, as you mentioned. And I actually sat for a second and thought, why is Captain Kangaroo trending on Twitter? What is Captain Kangaroo? He's been dead forever.
What could it be?
I said, okay, I'm going to guess that some guy about my age is saying that Captain Kangaroo molested him. I don't know why. That was the first thing that came to mind. Man. Why else would Captain Kangaroo trend?
Oh, don't cry or look bad with your widow Captain Kangaroo haircut.
With ping pong balls?
In grandfather clock. Because you could open it up.
In green jeans. Sam Kinison used to do a bit on Mr. Green Jeans.
Green Jeans is complicit.
Did you know Sam used to do a bit about green jeans?
Oh.
Anyway, why was Captain Kangaroo trending?
Because the guy from the House representative from Florida said something about a kangaroo. This is a kangaroo court accusing Trump.
Yeah.
And Schiff is being a malicious Captain Kangaroo, which Twitter took to mean that he thinks that a kangaroo court is something to do with Captain Kangaroo. Yeah. And Twitter was having a good time with that.
Oh,
and
boy.
He kind of seems like he might think that, so.
Hey, can you bring up Mr. Green Jeans, Captain Sam Kinison? See if you can find that little clip. Do you guys even know who Mr. Green Jeans is?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Uh-huh. Oh, okay. You guys grew up with Kangaroo?
Well,
at the very end.
We interviewed him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
When did Kangaroo end?
That was when he said, just let him be happy, because Mike farted during the interview.
Happy, for goodness sake. 84 it went off the air. So
oh, okay.
Vaguely.
Wow, I didn't know it went that long.
Well, you interviewed Kangaroo, and you interviewed Mr. Green Jeans, too, didn't you?
I don't think we ever talked to Mr. Green Jeans.
I never did. That was before I was there.
As Sam Kinison points out, Mr. Green Jeans, did he kill himself? Is that real? He did, didn't he? Didn't he shoot himself in the head?
Oh, man.
Pretty weird for a guy on a children's show. But Sam Kinison, I think, did a bit on Mr. Green Jeans.
I'm looking for it.
It's because he...
While you're looking, I'll mention, okay, Ellen and George Bush, they're friends. It's terrible. And then Ellen, of course, tells us all that people don't have to agree on everything to be friends. And that wasn't good enough for one person.
Oh, who?
The actor, Mark Ruffalo.
Shut up, Ruffalo.
He could not let that sit and said, sorry, until George W. Bush is brought to justice for the crimes of the Iraq War, including American-led torture, Iraqi deaths and displacement, and the deep scars, emotional and otherwise, inflicted on a military that served his folly, we can't even begin to talk about kindness. With a lot of people who don't share the same beliefs that I have. Oh, that's what she said. I'm sorry. That's what she
said. Susan Sarandon has also come out to yell at Ellen and say, your apology is not good enough. You are not allowed to be friends with a war criminal.
All right, noted.
So she can't even be civil with him.
Disappear now.
They show up in the same box and she can't be civil to him. She has to be, to make the whole room awkward.
You have to leave Jerry Jones' press box. You have to leave.
Oh, you know, these people. Fuck yourselves. Just make another movie.
By the way, Mr. Green Jeans, the first search result was, Mr. Green Jeans did not commit suicide.
Oh, he didn't?
And the follow-up questions were, was Mr. Green Jeans Frank Zappa's father? Was Mr. Green Jeans Ted Nugent's father? And did Mr. Green Jeans wear green jeans?
Lord.
Mr. Green Jeans, Sam Kinison, nothing?
I'm looking.
I sworn he did something on that.
I know he did because we used to have it on a cart.
That's what I thought.
But I can't find it on the YouTube.
I don't know. What's this one? I don't know.
I looked at that one and sped through it and didn't see it.
Oh, you didn't see it?
That was reading
And that's
captions.
When I said, wait a second, I forgot. I'm a genius. Give me your yellow pages. Now, you can do this anywhere in the country. And I'm telling this story simply in case when Kitty gets out and things don't work out, you can use this trick, too. I got the yellow pages. I called up a limo service. I said, listen, I'm Sam Kinison. I'm here. I need two limos. I have to go to the airport and take a private plane out at 5:30 in the morning. Can you be here in 20 minutes? They said, yes. I said, now, these are stock limos, aren't they?
Oh, it's when he ran out of booze in the middle of the night.
Yes, they are stock limos. I said, fine. They get there 20 minutes later. The limos pull up. You give them $400, 200 each driver. You go, we don't want anyone go anywhere. We just want your booze. Give us your liquor because we have to keep the party going.
I think he was hanging with Sheen when that happened. Didn't Sheen tell that story?
Oh boy, I don't know.
That they were doing drugs and they're partying all night. It was like 4 in the morning. There was no alcohol. So Sam's idea was to call for a couple limos, stocked limos.
Oh wow, that's brilliant.
Yeah.
Wow.
Necessity's a mother of invention.
I don't know. I don't see anything on.
Okay.
He died of cancer.
Just made it up.
Green jeans.
He did.
Yeah. It's okay. The internet.
No,
says.
You didn't make it up because I do see something here where. They talk about a Sam Kinison bit, but it's just not there.
Okay. Get us out of here, Brandon.
Got it.
I haven't found it yet, though. I'm not giving up.
It'll come. We'll find it somewhere, somehow. Okay, so tomorrow's the Friday show.
Jamie Kennedy?
Oh, Jamie Kennedy, that's right. Yeah. We've had him in studio a couple times.
Yeah.
He's a great guest.
Yeah, he was.
Yeah, and the reason I didn't mean to get all worked up over the guest criticism, it's just that, you know, Trudy and I have talked about this, how radio no longer has guests. No. Rock radio never has guests. CSX? No?
Maybe a couple of times.
In studio, live.
Yeah, one of them was, who's the Hotel California guitarist? Who's
Don Felder?
Yes.
I mean, but if Sammy Hagar said, hey, I'm coming to town, can I do an interview on the morning show? Wouldn't they probably say, well, we can use a little bit of it? Or
I would have thought they would, or, you know, they would have maybe. Well, you can go for 5 minutes and then you have to go
right.
On the production studio.
Right. In other words,
studio.
Yeah, we've got to get back to the music.
Right.
That's, I mean,
Eddie Money came in and was sat in on the show, too.
But you get a rock star, you blow out 20 minutes and you have fun talking to them, and people love those guys.
Sure.
Or
yeah.
Somebody
found
in the
it.
News, huh?
You did? I found it, yeah.
Okay, we'll play it right after the outro here.
Yeah, but
so
yes.
Yeah, I'm like, if people don't like interviews, if radio's right, that people just don't like any interviews, if they hear anyone talking with the person on the air, they just tune out.
Fake.
Then I don't want to go all the time.
Unless it's a caller.
Yeah, if it's a caller, of course they want to hear callers. Endless callers, but no interviews with important people that matter. There you go.
Exactly.
All right. We'll see you Friday.
Boom. Hot take.
I'm not the only guy that's messed up in show business lately. Come on. It's not like I'm Pee Wee Herman who has to live with his mistake the rest of his life. Here's a man that had a man. Here's a man with a children's show, Pee Wee's Clubhouse. Here's a man that parents all of America thought they could trust. We can trust him with our children. He'll be all right. It's Pee Wee. Yeah. Yeah, it was the Pee Wee they thought they knew. In real life, he was at an adult theater going, oh, Nurse Nancy, Nurse Nancy, yeah, make my pee-wee hard, will you? Nasty fucking little guy in a plant suit and a red bow tie. I think he should get the sternest punishment they can dish out. Execution. Execute Pee-wee. Make an example out of him to other people that are involved in children's programming. Execution! Hang him. Make him do that fucking big shoe dance on the end of a rope. Hang him. Hang him. Put the fucking big shoes on him and kick out the stool. Make an example out of his ass, man. Come on. There's been other people in children's programming. Look at Captain Kangaroo. This man had to be Captain Kangaroo for over 30 fucking years. No scandal, no controversy. Drank a lot. You would too. Fuck, man. I don't think the guy knew the show was going to go on 30 fucking years. God damn it, I'm Captain Kangaroo. I think the fucking gig would last 2 or 3 years and I'd spend my whole fucking life as Captain Kangaroo. He looked like a heavy fucking drinker, man. Just at home going, I was an actor. Jesus Christ, I was in the actor's studio. I wanted to do the death of a salesman. I wanted to wave Willie. My God, I'm Captain Kangaroo. But he kept it together. He was just, you know, he's fucking discouraged all the time. Never saw him excited. He was like, good morning, boys and girls. Sorry.
hey, let's take the walk of death and go over here and talk to Mr. Grandfather Clock, huh? All right. Yeah, Harry, oh, look, there's Mr. Bunny. How's it feel to have a hand up your ass, little fuck, huh? He was very fucking depressed, but he never fucking snapped. He held it together. Mr. Green Jeans took his own fucking life. Couldn't handle it. Woke up with name, my God, I'm 63, and I'm Mr. Green Jeans! Got out of the boat! And took his fucking life. He's dead. Green Jeans is dead. He snapped. He snapped like a fucking rubber band. He lost it, man. He realized he was in career hell and went, oh, no, boat! Kangaroo kept it together, but, you know, Green Jeans was dead. It was like, you know, sorry, that's it. You're retired now. You can have a normal haircut. Remember that fucking haircut they used to make him when the guy was 50 and he looked like a mongoloid? He had that bowl on his head? That fucking cut, man, those lamb chops? He looked like an ass. He did. His wife probably gave him shit. I married a loser! Look at you! God, you told me you're an actor. You're Captain Kangaroo! People laugh at us when we go out. Can't help it, you fucking bitch! I'm under a contract! God damn it, I didn't know the show would last 30 years! CBS stands for cocksucking bastard sons of bitches! I'm in hell! Oh, hell! Man, you know, you never know! Who knows? He handled it, though. He didn't snap. No controversy. He wasn't in a fucking adult theater going, I am Nurse Nancy. No. He didn't do that! He loved the kids so much. Captain Kangaroo kept it together. He didn't fuck up. I can fuck up. People expect that from me. I'm not on a lunchbox. There are no Sammy dogs. That's right. I'm family entertainment on another level. My fans would have been disappointed if I would have showed up for the Joan Rivers show.